much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Nothing is off limits. While at the same time, I urge you guys to be cool.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West. Adam West, Adam West.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969?
When was... Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life. I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now.
You're an idiot asshole.
Garmin. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one.
Dude, where's my car?
Just like the other one.
I don't even know what that means.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What if your name was Asshole?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Nope.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
But you don't care, do you, White?
Roll another one.
Want a banana, you hot little monkey bitch?
Nope.
Just like the other one.
I think every erection is a miracle.
This one seems to be about to
end. Golly, I'm gonna need to change my pants.
I don't have another cent.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
I love
Jesus, but I drink a little.
And now.
All right. Now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights. Music.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. All new Kevin and Bean Show, Friday morning.
Your phone call's coming up in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. Before we get to those calls, interesting conversation with Miss Cleo in the room here right before we went live.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? The nice lady who comes on after us on our flagship station in Los Angeles, KROQ, Kat,
mm-hmm.
she streams, as many disc jockeys are doing lately, by the way, she streams her show on Ustream so that you can, so that if you want to, you can watch radio being made, which is, by the way, about the most boring thing on the planet.
Yeah, they come to us and they say, hey, we want to do that with you guys. And we go, so people can watch guys talk?
It's funny. It's funny how boners work. Because
terrible
if
idea.
It was us,
right.
There'd be 13 people who would, you know, intermittently come in and out of that Ustream. With Kat, there's thousands of people every single day that watch.
And I keep telling her, you gotta give them a little something, a little shoulder. Show them a little shoulder.
Right.
It's not an accident. Just kind of, whoa, that's my shoulder. Something.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never tuned into the Ustream, but I've seen the still photos, and it's just, you know, her from the waist up. And I'm thinking you need an under-the-chair cam. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can spice that thing up, but right. she's not doing any of them, and right she's still now. Doing okay. What? That's a great idea. The under-the-chair cam? Why not? So anyway, so
it's creepy?
So Miss Cleo, what was the deal, Mike? Was she telling us that she was walking through the room or something? Or what
well, Miss Cleo is a phone operator here. That's what she does. She answers the phones. And they get involved in the cat stream every once in a while, too, all the different phone apps.
Right.
So one of the young viewers saw Miss Cleo and said, hey, would you go to prom with me? And Miss Cleo responded back and said, sure, why not? And
was she just joking around? Or she's
Miss Cleo, come on in. It made it seem like... she was serious. And I was telling the story about UFC ring girl, official UFC ring girl, Ariane Celeste.
Who is your hero.
She's the most one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen.
Right.
She was asked to prom by this kid who started a complete huge grassroots YouTube campaign. And she had said yes. And because this kid was so persistent and essentially succeeded with this campaign on YouTube, they made it on The Tonight Show. They were on George Lopez,
no
Good Morning
kidding.
America.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the Howard Stern radio show. So I see, like, this is open to be a great bit if Ms. Cleo's serious about it.
But here's – yes, Ms. Cleo.
Good morning. So the kid asked – I mean, I can't – with the Ustream, I can't see anybody's faces.
Right, right.
They're just typing up in a chat, but right. They can see us. And right. – So he's like, Ms. Cleo, go to prom with me. And so I was like, yeah, I'll go. And then like three other people were like, no, go with me. No, go with me.
Oh.
You're going to have a busy season.
And I was like, all right. And so I think they were just joking. I mean, I don't think because there was no follow up or anything. I don't know if he was serious or not. But I just thought that was kind
of How are they
funny.
Supposed to follow up?
Say something. Like, it literally was like, go to prom with me. So what music is coming up
oh,
next?
Oh, I see. So they just stop paying attention to it.
In other words, they didn't say, hey, I'll email you my information
exactly.
or anything like that. Okay, so, I have two thoughts. One is, holy grail for these teenagers who are trolling the internet and happen upon the Ustream of Cat Show, and they see Miss Cleo. They're like, oh, my God, this is why I stayed home from school today. Look at those. I mean, they must have been so happy to see Miss Cleo on the screen, right? And the follow-up is, what's going on in Miss Cleo's personal life where she's now serious about going out with guys she can't see that are basically catcalling her, shouting out things to her from the other side of an internet camera?
Well,
how desperate are you?
At first, I wasn't serious, obviously, but then I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, that would kind of be fun.
If you could bring a flask.
Hear my whole thing.
And someone else.
And a taser.
Like, friend, just in case.
If none of these gentlemen follow up, it is prom season, and Miss Cleo is an attractive woman with a comic book body. we're always looking for different ways to raise money for charity.
Right.
What if we were to auction her off as a prom date and all the proceeds go to whatever given charity? I think we could generate some serious dough.
Well, but you're asking for some high school kid to kick in a lot of cash?
Yeah, some high school kid's parents.
Steal it. Sell drugs.
Good point.
You're 17. Grow a pair.
You'd have to bid on Miss Cleo and a security guard, though. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I would. Mike, well, a.k.a.
You want a chaperone.
I mean, not even Mike.
Obviously,
should night security.
That's obviously kind of... Kevin and Lightning Scorsese have to go as your security / cameraman / entertainers.
All right. Well, we may have to table this for right now and work on it another time. But that's not a bad idea to auction off Miss Cleo somehow. Maybe it's not even a money thing. Maybe we screw charity and just make it some sort of a dating game and see who's got the game at a high school that's got the game to win Miss Cleo over.
Well, that's
you know?
What I thought was so funny was that it was a high school kid. Like, that takes cojones.
Right.
Yeah, it like, good
does.
For you, kid.
Not as much, though, when you're just typing on
That's
a keyboard
true.
As it does face to face.
Yeah, they have a lot of guts on keyboards.
And
yeah.
I was going to say, also, 17-year-old boys, it's not that their guts, it's their stupidity that overwhelms them. When you're 17, you'll just do anything because you don't realize the repercussions.
Hang on.
They don't realize how out of their league Miss Cleo really is. I guess, because, you know, she's a hot older woman to them. Sorry, Cleo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true, though, right? I mean, it's a big deal. If you're 17, you're going out with somebody who's over 20. I mean, all of a sudden, you're a stud, right?
Here's what I know about women. They love the word older. That's what I love. That's a guarantee.
That is true.
All right. Well, we'll work on that later. Right now, though, how about your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's Friday edition of What It Do, Nephew?
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Tickets to the 36th annual Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. It happens April 16th through the 18th, rather. That's next Saturday for the celebrity race. That's what you get for being on the air with us right now.
All right, let's begin with Joey. Hi, Joey. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going
what it
on?
Do?
What it do, baby?
What's happening?
I hate Kesha so much that I wrote an essay about her in my English class.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
And this is separate from my hate. You hate her on your own.
Yeah, I hated her before you said anything.
Excellent. Good taste.
He hated her before hating her was cool.
That's fine.
Yeah, I actually wrote the essay. You brought it up the day you brought it up.
Oh, no kidding.
Can you send it to us?
I popped the idea to my head.
Can you send us the essay?
My professor actually has it.
Oh, you don't have it on a laptop or something? You can email it?
No, I actually sent it in. I could probably get it back.
It's no big deal.
But I want to know what your main reason was.
It was an essay about technology, and basically I wrote about technology and music, and basically Kesha sucks, and if there wasn't technology and music, Kesha wouldn't be famous in caffeine.
Yeah. Good point.
I got you. Also, she's just a good example of how you don't need to be able to sing anymore to have a recording career. That's mm-hmm. That sounds like a pretty legitimate premise for a paper, I think.
Sure.
All right.
I think we should do Kesha haiku.
if you get it back, dude, definitely send it to us. We'd like to hear about it. All right, Johnny, line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Johnny, thanks for holding on. What it do?
What it do, baby boo? What it do?
Everyone else,
nephew.
What's happening?
Good morning.
Yeah, recently I had sex with my girlfriend for the first time. Except the thing is, I was wasted out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have performed a little better than normal.
Oh no!
Better?
No, not that. A boy. Now he's got to drink every time, or she's going to be disappointed.
Yeah, exactly. So this Saturday, I'm sure she's going to be expecting either the same performance, if not just a little better than normal. So yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
Drink.
What do you guys think?
Drink.
Get loaded.
I mean, listen. You don't bring your A game right up front, because now where do you go? Now you have to drink.
I understand why you would advise him to drink again for this Saturday, but that can't be the policy for every single time they have sex. Eventually, he's going to have sex with her sober.
Right.
I don't know. Alex didn't for years.
That's true. Yeah, you made a mistake. That's sex 101 is not to bring your A game first time.
Is your problem that typically when you're not drinking, it doesn't last long enough?
I'm pretty average, I guess.
Okay, well, here's something that always helped me. Watch Schindler's List. Like, right before you meet up with your girlfriend this weekend. And then...
And be all bummed out?
No, and then when you're about to have sex, just think only about the worst scenes in that movie. And think about, like, the horrors of the Holocaust. And then there's no possibility that you can get turned on, and then you can go on forever.
What I was thinking is I would probably just play Kevin's baby talk video in my head over and over and over.
That should do it.
That's about equivalent to the seeds of the Holocaust. Sure.
All right.
Yeah, because that was terrible.
It was.
It was. You, all right, good luck with that. Thank you. All right, one more real quick. Manuel is on line 4. Hey, there's a guy who creeped in a bag. I can't wait to find out how that happened.
How do you crepe in a bag? That's great.
How do you crepe in a bag? I don't know.
It was disgusting. So me and my girlfriend went to the hospital, visited her friend, had a baby, and we were in the elevator. We're going to the lower level, and the elevator gets stuck. We were stuck in there for an hour and a half.
No kidding.
They're with us. Apparently, was on his way to the restroom and couldn't hold it in, and had to end up crapping in a bag.
Not in the elevator with you and your girlfriend in there?
It was disgusting. He was embarrassed, and I felt bad for him. But it was like, dude, really? Now you got to do this now?
DJ Omar Khan.
That's the worst. I don't think we've ever done a call in all these years of people have been stuck in elevators and how long they were there for and what people had to do. The fear.
That's not when you want it.
I've always thought if I got stuck in an elevator for an hour, I'd have to pee.
Right, but that's so way better.
It's way better than
creeping.
But this poor guy, though, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Manuel. He's embarrassed. He didn't want to have to do it. He just didn't have any choice. He was going to burst. So what did he do? Did he ask you guys to, like, turn your backs to him or something?
No, we were already to our backs because we were already facing the doors, and we were, like, kind of frustrated. We, like, wanted to get the heck out of there.
Right, of course.
And my cell phone wasn't getting reception, and he's like, you guys, I'm sorry, but I have to do this. And, like, he didn't even give us warning. He just, like, popped the squat.
All right.
Listen,
what are you going to do? Jay Moore did that in our office yesterday after the show.
He pretty much did.
He craved.
How many people were in the elevator?
It was 3 other people with us, so it looked like there was much space.
Wow.
Dude, that's a nightmare. I'd rather be in the coal mine of West Virginia right now than be in the elevator with that guy taking a crepe.
Wow. Creeping in public might be another time.
Oh, dude, that ruined my whole day. That's what Johnny needs to think about when he's in bed with his girlfriend this weekend.
Whole day. Are you kidding?
Thank you very much for the call. Hang on for your prize. Yeah, we got to do that as a topic. I don't ever want to get stuck in an elevator. I think about that every single time I get in is what happens if.
You climb out the top. I've seen movies.
Sure you do.
Yeah, I think that's a lot easier in the movies than it is in real life.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right, then. Who likes to rock the party?
Party. Yeah. We have tickets for you to see Gorillaz when they do their warm-up show for Coachella. That's a unique thing to this radio station. You don't get them anywhere else. We have Adam Carolla because it's Friday.
Yeah.
This Week in Rage, we have Slash in studio talking about his new CD.
How about that?
On which he has a different lead singer on every song.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Which is another way of saying that Slash is an excellent guitar player, cannot sing.
But the people he pulls. I mean,
he's got friends.
Yeah. And they all love him. We have Adam West on the program today, talking about his star on the Palm Springs Walk of Fame.
Good for him.
He's getting closer.
Getting closer. And let's see, what else? We have the movie beat, because it's Friday. So that's all coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Smashing Pumpkins on the way, also the new one from STP, and yes, Johnny Cash. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sorry, can I hear that again?
Nope. By the way, the listener that brought up the Kesha video, I don't know if you went to KevinandBean.com yesterday and checked out the comments on your Baby Talk video.
I did not.
Hundreds of
them. I'm afraid
them.
Of them.
So much love, Kevin. You have
really?
No idea. Just international acclaim.
Yeah.
People love that video. So if folks have not yet seen it, please go to KevinandBean.com and leave your remarks. But the biggest problem we're having now is people want to own it. You know, people want to download it. And they can't do that, but they're going crazy for it.
But there are a lot of programs out there, people. A lot
I'm
of
sure
screen cap
a,
programs.
I'm sure there's a way to steal
right.
it. Exactly.
Very yep. simple.
Let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat, shall we? I got to tell you, this Tiger Woods, he can golf. He
yeah.
is impressive.
Oh, really? Is he doing well?
Well, yesterday was day one of the Masters. Right. This is him going back to work. He hadn't played a round of golf that we knew of in public. Who knows how much practice he's been able to squeeze in, you know, just getting out of the house from his wife so he didn't get hit over the head with a frying pan or something. But he shot a 4-under par 68 yesterday on
wow.
day one, round one of the Masters, which is his best ever first round at the Masters.
Wow.
How do you go out there knowing that every camera in the world is on you and that it's being followed, you know, across the entire world, people seeing how you respond to it and having all the, you know, all the anxiety of how are the fans going to, you know, be and whatnot. And you got planes flying overhead. Did you see the banners that people were flying overhead of the Masters?
No.
Tiger, did you mean bootyism was one of them? Sex addict? Yeah, sure. Me too. You know, how do you look past all those distractions and shoot one of the rounds of your life out there on the golf course?
I don't know.
Isn't he like one stroke off the lead?
I think he's two strokes back, but he just had an unbelievable ninth hole hook shot that went around trees. I mean, it was just like freaky video game type shooting he was doing. Two eagles in a round for the first time.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, just unbelievable. We'll see if, I mean, now that the pressure's off and he can relax, who knows what he'll do the rest of the weekend. But there are a lot of people glad he's back. I'm telling you what, including CBS.
Yeah, especially. The LA Times reports Nicolas Cage is having trouble with his house. I don't know if you saw this, but his house was originally listed at $35 million.
Whoa.
I don't know how a house could cost that much.
Oh, my God.
That was the original cost. Dropped to $10.4 million earlier this week. Apparently, no one still put in an offer, and the ownership reverted to the mortgage lender.
He lost it?
That's
he just
saying.
Walked away, basically.
It's the mansion features a central tower, a home theater, an Olympic-sized swimming pool, in addition to model train sets on raised tracks and several rooms throughout the house.
I wonder what he paid for it. He put it on the market for $35 million. I wonder what he paid for it whenever he bought it. We have been hearing for a long time that he's got too many properties, including a castle or two, and for whatever reason is just not able to make the mortgage. And it's so weird to me because isn't he one of those guys who can make $15, $20 million
yes.
for a movie? Yes.
And he just makes crap and they still pay him.
Yes.
Right. It's not like he's holding out for a good role. It mm-hmm. seems like he could go out today and sign five contracts for five movies and probably pay off a bunch of these houses.
Maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me either, but it was on the market for $35 million. They dropped it to $10 million, and everybody said, "Yeah, no,
wow.
okay." Sounds like a pretty good deal at $10 million, by the way, based on your description.
Yeah,
here's a we love lists, and this is a great one from PopCrunch.com. You know, with Jesse James situation in the news and Tiger Woods situation, PopCrunch has put out a list of the 15 hottest women ever to get cheated on.
All right.
Unfortunately, they are not in order, but I think you'll recognize, you know, all of these names deserve to be on the list. Halle Berry is on the list, for instance.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley, of course, was cheated on by Hugh Grant. Taya Leone, cheated on by Dave Duchovny. Jennifer Aniston, they say, cheated on by Brad Pitt. I didn't know if that was confirmed or not. Kim Kardashian, cheated on by Reggie Bush. Jennifer Lopez, cheated on by P. Diddy. Just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Elin Nordgren, of course, is on the list. Vanessa Bryant is on the list, cheated on by her husband, Kobe. Sienna Miller, cheated on by Jude Law. So it just goes to show you, ladies, if your man is cheating on you, think about these women on the list who are infinitely hotter than you are. They can't even keep their man faithful, so don't feel so bad about yourself.
That's supposed to help?
I think so.
I think what it points out is hotness doesn't necessarily have anything to do with faithfulness.
Yeah. I don't know who said this. I don't know where I heard it, but no matter how hot a woman is, someplace there's a guy who's really tired of her.
Absolutely. We all get tired of each other.
Originally, I heard Nikki Sixx say that, and he said it from experience. He said, I've had at every point in my life a different playmate.
Yeah.
And I get bored with him. Trust me.
So,
because they're still just women.
Right.
That's why. that's the bottom line here.
Jay-Z, I believe, is teaching Beyonce to drive. Odd. She's 28. Grew up in Houston, you said, Bean?
Yeah, that's where they're from.
That's interesting.
Can you see Jay-Z and Beyonce in a car? Like, make a left! What's wrong with you?
It's a very stressful situation.
Right. What a bizarre thing to see.
It's kind of weird living in New York that she wants to learn how to drive or that they don't just have a driver, but...
I'm sure they have a driver, but I would think you would want that kind of freedom.
Yeah,
you're 28,
especially when you're traveling.
You can't drive a car?
I'm shocked that famous New Yorker Jay-Z is the one who's teaching her.
Yeah.
Like, why does he know how to drive?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jesse McCartney is 23 years old today. He, of course, is a Disney star, very popular actor. He's the voice of Theodore, the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies.
Yeah.
He co-wrote the song Bleeding Love, that international number one best-selling song of the year from a couple of years ago by Leona Lewis. That was the one thing about him that I ever heard that I was impressed with because that was a pretty great song. He is only 23 years old today. Actor Dennis Quaid turns 56 today. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl turns 24. Sex and the City's Cynthia Nixon is 44 years old today. Paulina Poroskova, former supermodel. Still married to Rick Ocasek of The Cars. That's a marriage that no one thought would last longer than a year.
No.
They've been married for like 25 years now already. She turns 45 today. Albert Hammond Jr. from The Strokes is 31. Keisha Knight Pulliam, guys. She was Rudy on The Cosby Show. 31 today.
Wow.
31. All grown up. Hugh Hefner, speaking of Playboy, 84 today. And really, imagine the party. How crazy,
yeah.
How out of control, how balls to the wall is it going to be at Kristen Stewart's house today? She is 20, and that's a girl who knows how to party, and that's the Showbiz Beat. Big show on a Friday here on the Kevin and Bean program. Our great friend Adam West is going to be joining us later on today. The other Adam we love, Adam Carolla, will be here as well. Right now, though, it is time for the Movie Beat being Friday. Ralph is out this week, as you know, and from RottenTomatoes.com, which is my go-to site for all things movie, we welcome the editor-in-chief, Matt Achety, back to the Kevin and Bean show. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I know we got some movies we got to talk about for this week, but I have to ask a question because we're all fans of your site, as we've told you in the past. Is it true that 98% of critics have given a positive review to How to Train Your Dragon? And where does that rank in terms of the all-time best-reviewed movies on your site?
You know, that is pretty high. That is true, first of all. 98% of the critics do like the movie. That's definitely pretty high, although I have to tell you, we've got movies that are higher than that. We do have a bunch of movies that are at 100%.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's hard to put out a movie that one person doesn't like.
Well, you know, the trick is actually getting to a movie where you've got a bunch of reviewers seeing it. You know, we'll generate a tomato meter that shows up when we've only got 5 or 6 reviews. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at that point, it's not that difficult.
Right.
Oh, I see.
You know, to get 100%, right?
Right.
You only need 5 people to actually like it. But as you start seeing more, so the trick is with something like How to Train Your Dragon, which has a couple of hundred reviews, that's where it's really impressive, right?
So, yeah, no kidding.
Now, granted, there are a few movies like that. Toy Story 2, actually, is at 100% still.
Wow.
How about that?
And that's like 230, 240 reviews.
And for folks who haven't been to RottenTomatoes.com, Matt has explained it perfectly. It basically adds up all the reviewers from across the country, I guess, and puts it on a percentage scale so you can see generally how well the movie is received.
Right.
So
right.
I was just really I was super impressed with that. There's not much happening this weekend. Date Night, of course, would be the biggest, right?
Right, right. That's our only really major wide release this weekend, and that's at 70%. I saw it earlier this week, and it's a good movie. You know, it's a solid film.
So basically, it looks like the trailer. A lot of times the trailer will, you know, promise what the movie does not deliver. But this
actually, I got to tell you, this is a rare case for me of actually the funniest lines not even being in the trailer.
That's
oh,
the
that
best.
Is good news.
That is the best.
Yeah.
Because usually they burn the three good lines that are in the movie, and then you go to the movie, it's like, wow, that was...
No, there's actually a lot of funny stuff going right. on. You know, Tina Fey and Steve Carell are hilarious in the movie, and you definitely can tell that they've been ad-libbing. You know, in fact, over the credits, they show some outtakes, and some of their funniest lines were things that they had ad-libbed.
Yep.
They're so likable, both of those, Steve Carell and Tina Fey. You just have, I think you go in with genuine enthusiasm and affection for them just because you like them so much as people from the things that we know them from their NBC comedies.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, they've got a really good chemistry, and Steve Carell's a bit dialed down from his, you know, the insanity of Michael Scott on
right.
The Office. Although, I'll tell you what's a little funny. I found myself expecting to jump to NBC commercial breaks and hearing the xylophone, right? The doom.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Of course.
Before we move on, Lisa, you had a question about date
well,
night.
Well, no, I actually had heard a reviewer from the LA Times this morning, and he really liked them, but he felt like the outtakes showed that they were a little bit funnier, really, than this movie allowed them to be.
That's. I think you're talking about Ken Tran.
Wow. Yes.
Right. The movie, I'll tell you, the movie's not brilliant. It's not their best work. You know, is it as funny as Steve Carell in The 40-Year-Old Virgin? Not quite.
Right.
But that being said, the star power of the stars go a long way.
And the likability, yeah, like
and
B was saying.
Right?
You know you're going to like them.
Right. And if you're fans of theirs, you're going to dig this movie.
Okay.
It's not brilliant. You know, it rambles a little bit in parts. It's not a perfect movie. But it's pretty good. You know, it's directed by Sean Levy, who did both Night at the Museum movies. And it's, you know, kind of the same kind of tone, kind of silly, kind of fun.
How's my girlfriend Kristen Wiig, who I love so much?
She's the brief moment she's in, she's very good.
Great. We are talking to Matt Atchity, by the way. He is the editor-in-chief of Rotten Tomatoes, RottenTomatoes.com. What else do we have to look forward to this weekend, if anything, Matt?
You know, another one that's expanding, if you haven't already seen, that people should definitely check out is The Runaways, which is the story of Joan Jett's first band. And it stars Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning. And it's the story of, you know, The Runaways in 1975 and how they hit it really big. And
I was interested until I heard the name Kristen Stewart, and then that scared me.
She's pretty good.
Actually, I got to tell you, I'm not someone who likes the Twilight movies either. You know, I'm a dude. So,
but she's good in this?
She's great, actually, and she totally nails it.
How about that?
You really start thinking, oh my God, that's exactly the way Joan Jett is. You know, you guys are like, you grew up on Joan Jett.
Right.
Uh-huh. And she's got the walk down, she's got the look, she's got the attitude. She's really good.
That's great news.
It's funny because we barely see her even open her mouth enough to speak. You know, she's always so mopey, not just in the Twilight movies, but even when you see her interviewed on talk shows, she just said, like, how about some energy? Can you muster up any enthusiasm for any part of your life? So it's weird to think about her playing somebody as outgoing and as, you know, a rock and roll chick like Joan Jett.
Yeah, you know, what she does in this movie is she plays it sullen, which kind
really?
Of...
Really?
Yeah, okay.
What a stretch.
Not all energetic, right? But the sullenness works because it's you think, okay, yeah, that's angry Joan Jett.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, we're about out of time. Hey, real quick, just give me a couple lines. I know we're a week out, but we're giving away tickets this week to the Kevin Bean listeners to Kick-Ass. And everything that I've read and seen about that movie looks like it's awesome. Have you seen that one yet, Matt?
I haven't seen it. I'm going to see it on Monday night.
Okay. Good times.
Not to be gloating that I get to see it early.
Yeah, I get to see it early.
I've talked to, you know, it's at about 80% right now, and it looks fantastic. I mean, those trailers are hilarious.
They really are.
It does. It looks Tarantino-esque to me, I'll tell you. I can't wait. All right, RottenTomatoes.com is the site. There's so much great stuff. If you love movies like you do, you definitely want to check it out. Matt Atchity, editor-in-chief, as always, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the most captivating athletes in sports. Whether you love baseball like I do or not, you got to love Manny Ramirez because he is always entertaining. And we got him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a couple of weeks since we checked in with Manny. How are you, dude?
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Manny Ramirez. I'm from the Los Angeles Dodgers. I love LA.
how do you feel first week into the season, getting back into the groove a little bit? I know I think you've only won the one game so far, but it's a long season. You're going to be fine. How's it going for you?
So, is that good?
Right. Yeah. I feel weak because I have lupus.
What? You have lupus? Are you serious, Manny?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you don't even know what that is, do you?
All right.
Manny, one of the reasons we love you is that we never have any idea what the hell you're talking about, but occasionally you will do an interview and people are shocked at the stuff you say because, I don't know, it just seems like you're a loose cannon with some of the things you say to reporters. Most people are very careful to make sure when they're speaking for an organization like the Dodgers, they don't say anything that potentially is embarrassing.
But I love L.A., and right. You said loose cannon, and cannons shoot balls. Yeah. I have dreadlocks on my balls, just like I had dreadlocks on my head. All right.
So for those of you that don't know the story, there is a high-profile divorce going on between Frank McCourt, the owner of the Dodgers, and Jamie McCourt.
I love Jamie McCourt. She's my friend.
Right. So it's odd that that one of the players, one of the Dodgers, would come out and choose sides.
Yeah, that
really
doesn't seem smart.
Really, either way.
But like the dentist, she gave me mouthwash as a treat, and I put it in my mouth. It got spicy.
Right?
Okay. I'm having trouble following you. Oh, no, not you with the reggaeton horn. But I think what Kevin is suggesting is maybe it's best for players on the team to just kind of stay out and let this thing, you know, unfold on its own without any kind of input one way or another from you.
Okay, pretty man.
But, I mean, isn't Frank McCourt your boss also? Why say something against him to the press?
Because George Washington had teeth made out of tree.
Okay.
My aunt's name was Patty.
Okay. Manny, you were interviewed outside, 1 hour outside of Pittsburgh at some kind of racetrack. What were What kind of racing were you watching? Was it horse racing or?
Bunnies.
Dog race? What?
Bunnies?
Yeah.
There's no bunny racing.
Sure.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, we put a carrot on a fishing pole, and the bunny run round and round.
I don't think that that's true, Manny. I don't think that's what happened at all.
I love bunny. Sometimes I take my bunny, my pet bunny, his name is Pedro, and I rub it on my face because his skin and his fur feel so soft. All right. I love the home run.
I don't want to know any more about that story.
My bunnies have little baseball bat and little baseball jersey. They like to dress up like Manny Ramirez.
They do.
I'm outfielder Los Angeles Dodgers.
Right,
all
got
right.
That.
Everybody have fun. I love L.A.
Okay. All right.
Manny, is it true that you often will talk trash about people in Spanish so that they don't know what you're saying and you can just say whatever you want?
Yeah, because I love Korea.
What are you talking about?
I have to do it.
Do you like Korea, pretty lady?
I don't really have feelings either way, to be honest.
It's great.
Okay.
What is it?
Manny, Manny nail salon. Omar liked that one too. All right.
Wait, you have a guy named Omar there?
He's my favorite bunny.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, who are you playing next, Manny? Are you gearing up for a new opponent for the weekend?
That's right. Harlem Globetrotter.
It's a basketball.
I don't think that's true.
I'm going to hit Manny home run.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Hey!
That was scary. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 6:51.
Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Hey, before Omar does the showbiz beat for us this hour, Adam Carolla coming up in a few minutes. I'm curious to talk to Adam because apparently he has managed to tick off the entire country of the Philippines, and we'll find out why.
All right.
Apparently it's gotten to the point where he's actually had to issue an apology. And you know the Ace Man, he doesn't say I'm sorry for anything. So we'll find out what the battle is of Adam versus the PI coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Omar is in for Ralph with the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on, Omar?
Yeah, you guys are really bottom of the barrel now, right?
Yeah.
You guys are going to let me do it, right?
Well, we'll see.
But I got this.
Yeah, I
got
that's
my sound, sound effect.
That sound effect is on a short leash.
Really?
Yep.
I agree.
I can turn it off at any moment.
Okay, showbiz blows. You guys know I hate showbiz, but I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
First story. Oprah is not going away. What the hell's going on?
What?
Wait, she said she was quitting.
She said she was quitting, but now she's going to do a nighttime show on her network, OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. It's going to be called Oprah's Next Chapter. She says it's the network built on great intentions. F you!
Oprah, Noprah.
That's what I'm saying.
I've gained weight.
Check this out. So these are other shows on that network.
Okay.
And these are not made up. Visionaries, Inside the Creative Mind. Okay. Gail King Live. I hate her friend, Gail.
Oh, Gail King
gets
the show.
Yeah, she's a dumb bitch.
Her quote-unquote friend, by the way.
Right.
Okay. Why not? With Shania Twain.
What?
Breaking Down Bars, The Miracle Detectives, and wait for it, The Swell Life. These are not made up.
What?
The Swell Life.
The Swell Life.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What the hell's going on?
Everything I eat is
going
to make me fat anyway, and so I might as well just eat whatever I want.
Maybe it's about eating.
Yeah.
Next up, I'm pigging out.
Kate Gosselin from Douchebag and Dumb Bitch Plus 8. She's getting a new show, too. She's going to continue to be on our television. TLC announced yesterday that she's going to have a new show called Twist of Bitch. Oh, wait, no, it's called Twist of Kate.
Wow,
okay.
No.
Where Gosselin is going to use fan letters from women inspired by her story as the basis for profiles on women facing their own challenges.
Oh, no.
Who the hell is being inspired by this dumb bitch who is neglecting her eight?
So she
divorced.
Can be on TV.
It's insane. So there's that.
So there's that. It is hard to believe that somebody would see Kate Gosselin on TV and go, wow, she looks like she's got it together. I'm going to write to her and ask for advice on my life.
It's unbelievable. All right. This is funny. Hugh Jackman, who's a super stud, is going to be taking on a new role, most challenging role. Mm-hmm. He's going to play a man with testicles attached to his face. Yeah. Just announced yesterday. There's the guy who wrote
awesome.
Peter Farrelly, who wrote There's Something About Mary.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh. He wrote. He's writing this movie, and I guess they filmed the scene yesterday. And he plays a character who goes on a date opposite Kate Winslet, and he has balls on his face,
but
on
why?
His chin.
Wait, is this in a South Park?
No. It's a movie. It's a legit movie.
I can't wait.
Now, Lisa,
no.
Hugh Jackman is a stud.
Yes.
Come on. Would you date him with balls on his face? Really?
You can take them
Alex
off.
Would.
Or yeah,
why
I think
you
I
get
would.
Rid of them?
He's Omar a stud. Would. Oh God! All right, next.
No, no. Hold on, Lisa. Okay. You can take balls off your face when they end up there. I don't know that in this character Hugh Jackman's playing, it sounds like they're growing out of his face, right?
I know,
like
but there is
yeah,
such
it's
a thing
like
as
a
surgery.
It's like a deformity. When he was born, he got balls on his face.
Right, but
they're like
isn't
right
that
under his
crazy?
Chin.
They fix hair lips. Why can't
That's
they fix
awesome.
That?
Hey, dude, he is who he is.
That's going to be a great movie. He's not that guy, by the way.
All right, Lindsay Lohan is in the news again. She's really pissed at
her dad,
Mike, is engaged to her ex-assistant.
That girl's her ex-assistant?
It's Lindsay Lohan's ex-assistant.
Right.
I didn't know
and
that.
And that's the one who used to date John Gosselin.
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Wow.
Okay, I would say good pull on this, but have you seen pictures of this chick?
Yeah.
Fuh-ugh. She's 49. She's 27.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good pull, but no. Fuh-ugh.
Yeah.
But good for him.
Yeah, I guess, but
you don't want John Gosling's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, for sure. Another Lindsay Lohan tip, there's a show on TLC called Police Women of Maripoca County or something like that.
Maricopa County?
Yeah, for sure. It's like officers who, I don't know, they just film doing like, you know, police women work. Pretty hot chicks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, they were talking about Lindsay Lohan. Check it out.
I think maybe as strong women, we can help out
Lindsay Lohan.
I think we could definitely help Lindsay Lohan out.
That way she can be that good role model for our kids.
Yeah, that's not happening. Are you kidding me? Who are these dumb broads? Think of police work. Shut up.
Where is Maricopa County?
In Arizona.
It's in Arizona.
Okay. Why are all the sheriffs there, sad girl?
That's a good question. I have no idea. That's funny.
I got news for you. Everyone in Arizona is sad girl.
Yeah. Some news for the Twitards. Robert Pattinson has reportedly been ordered to bulk up for the forthcoming Twilight film Breaking Dawn. All right, so the actor has embarked on a protein-rich diet. Insert gay joke there. Robert Pattinson happens to be in the studio. Robert Pattinson, hey, what's happening, man? How are you going to bulk up, man?
I'm going to try my hardest. It's tough because life's so hard for me. But it'll be a burden. I'm going to eat a lot of protein-rich foods.
Where are you going to get your protein from?
Straight from my hose.
Nice. Robert Pattinson news. He is in the lead to play Kurt Cobain. On a documentary.
Oh, no.
And this is the... Yeah, I know.
No.
I know.
First Kristen Stewart, and now Rob Pattinson.
He's been calling Courtney Love, like, every day. He's really interested. And Courtney Love has said that Robert Pattinson is her first choice.
Oh, no.
So that's... Yeah, that's gonna blow.
No. Okay, let's stop for a second. Does he have any of the charisma that Kurt Cobain had?
No. No. No energy. Right? He doesn't have that it factor that people, you know, have. No. I don't know how he got so famous. It's insane. He is minus negative energy.
He is. I agree. I know that it's unlikely. Maybe he's even too old at this point. But Jared Leto, to me, man, would still do a killer job playing Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I
really
so too.
Think
yeah.
he would be great.
I thought a malnourished Jake Gyllenhaal would be the best choice.
Oh, that's not, that's not a bad that. Choice. He's, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
Malnourished.
Well, yeah, because he's kind of swole now to be Kurt
right.
Cobain.
Yeah. All right, Tiger Woods at the Masters yesterday did really well. You guys all saw the playing with the banner that said, Tiger, did you mean Buddhism? Which is pretty funny. But I have some audio here that TMZ got, and it's this guy. It's Tiger taking a swing and then Tiger getting pissed. Play it. We're going to play it a couple of times. Play it one time.
All right.
No.
Yeah. Okay, the first guy is just some guy in the crowd going, no, that wasn't good. And then Tiger getting all pissed. Play it again.
No.
Yeah. Okay, he's Tiger Woods. Do you really need to go, no, that didn't happen. That didn't work. Well, play it again.
Who?
No.
Who said no? Who
some guy in the crowd. He's all, no.
No, that's not a good
and
shot.
And then Tiger throws his glove and gets all pissed. It was the funniest thing ever. It was
this
awesome.
This is supposed to be the new Tiger who doesn't lose his temper,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He's all, the new no. Zen Tiger.
Look,
yeah.
Golf is one of those, quote, sports where they expect respect
yes.
and quiet and all
yeah.
that. They
no, that's
can't
true.
Take
it. He's all, God, and throws his glove all pissed.
And, no.
And I'm also going to offer this up, that this is the first golf tournament in a long time where Tiger hasn't been able to take the edge off the night before.
That's true.
That is true.
No.
That guy's the best. Enough. No.
No.
That's not going to happen.
You're not going to be happy with that.
All right. Lastly, you know, okay, Justin Bieber, okay, you know how all these people like Clay Aikens have the Clay Mates, the Twilight, have the Twihards,
yeah.
Kiss Army?
Yeah.
Okay? Do you guys know about the Bieber Fever, right?
Sure.
But you know what
right.
fans are calling themselves now?
No.
This
no.
is unreal and it's stupid. Justin Bieber must die. They're calling themselves the Beliebers.
Yeah!
No, are you kidding?
That is not.
The Beliebers, man.
That's not a
story. That happened.
No, it didn't.
It did.
No.
Yeah. All right, celebrity birthdays. Mr. Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy, 84
oh,
today.
Hugh Hefner is very
good. He's really good, right?
Very good.
Dennis
good
Quaid, 56. Actor Mark Pellegrino from Dexter and Jake. He's the guy who plays Jacob on Lost. Awesome.
Yes.
Porn star Jenna Jameson. Mm.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance is 33. Guitarist Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 30. Actress Leighton Meester from
yeah!
Gossip Girl is 24.
Oh, I love that show.
And Kristen Stewart is 20.
Yeah.
That's the Ralph Shepard.
Linkin Park, Phoenix, and Nirvana on the way with their new lead singer, Rob Pattinson. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, time to get it on. Adam
yeah.
Carolla.
Yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on.
The Ace Man is here next weekend, appearing for four big nights at the Irvine Improv with all of his friends. It's a live podcast tape. You can go to adamcarolla.com to buy tickets. Now, I made reference to, a few minutes ago, Ace, that you have started a war with the entire country of the Philippines. But I don't
yes.
know many of the details. What happened? What did you do to tick those people off?
Well, I said some disparaging things about the great Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, you
and,
can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
And
he's a hero there.
And, you know,
what'd you say about him? He's an amazing fighter.
Well, we talked. The topic of drug testing and Mayweather and that kind of stuff came up.
Right.
And I said, you know, if the guy was clean, why wouldn't he just take the blood test? And then a couple of other choice words about sexual tourism and things like that. And, you know, it riled a nation, I could
yeah.
say. But they're fine people. It's a fine nation. And I've apologized to each and every one of them. I actually went over there and went door to door.
In person.
Mm-hmm. How did the island of the Philippines hear about your remarks on the Adam Carolla podcast?
You know, this worldwide, this ultranet that Al Gore invented?
Internet.
Oh, okay.
Internet.
Right. No, it's outer now.
Oh,
it
I
goes.
See. Okay.
That's the whole point.
I see.
It used
okay.
to be inner.
Okay.
Now it's outer.
Yeah, now you can, now
yeah.
they can hear
things,
it. So.
Things spread out.
Yeah.
So no matter what you say, where you say it, it gets out there, baby.
Yes, it does. And there are people who will be upset
that?
By anything you say.
Oh, yes. And we say people, nations.
Oh, sure.
It's not
yeah.
just a handful of people.
Sure.
So hopefully I apologize enough to the folks where we've smoothed things over and we can move forward with all our lives.
Okay.
That would be nice. Yep. When I say move forward with our lives, I mean with my life.
Right.
I like to move forward and have my be alive. That's right, what I'm talking about.
Of course,
you'd
like to stay
about.
Alive. Sure. Yeah.
It sounds mm-hmm. like they put some fear into the Ace Man is what it sounds like. Yeah. I didn't know they had so many big guys in the Philippines.
Me and Salman Rushdie were hiding out for a while in a root cellar in Idaho.
There you got numbers, B.
Oh,
got
numbers. Oh, boy.
Apparently so.
Yes, they
all
do.
All right. I know you're going to do the Weekend Rage for us in a few minutes. What else is on your mind, Adam?
Well, I'm going to go after our fair city. Because I got a little beef here.
Right.
I had an interesting day 2 days ago. I simultaneously, in about the same, about 1 hour period, I had my tax guy call me and he said I owed $60,000 worth of, not just property taxes, $60,000 worth of property tax. And I said, all right, I'll see. Hate to pay that, but what are you going to do? And then I realized there's been a street light out in front of my house, it's been out for like, you know, at least 2 months. So I called the 311 number and I got some sack of ass, you know, picking up the line. And he basically gave me the, hey, man, don't hold your breath. We got
lights, a
lot of lights. A lot of them are out. We'll get to you when we get to you. And on any other day, you understand that. You're living in a crappy city with a horrible bureaucracy, and Mayor Villaraigosa's in charge, and everything's a dump. But the day you're cutting the $60,000 check, you want to go, hey, grab some of the guys that are down on the crew in Sun Valley and have them head up the hill and fix a street light. Unless someone down there is cutting $60,000 checks. Because I don't like that thing where they go, hey, if we did it for you, we'd have to do it for everyone. Everyone who cuts $60,000 checks,
I'd say it's deserved.
You'd be in pretty good shape.
Wow.
And I started thinking, you know, Tony Villar, as I like to call him, he calls himself Antonio Villaraigosa, but he was Tony Villar, our mayor, all the way through college. And you know those friends who you knew them as Chris your entire life, and at some point decide to go as Christopher, and you go, what a douchebag.
Sure.
Imagine what a douchebag this guy is. He went with his first and his last name, and he was out of college when he changed his name. So he's a sociopath, essentially.
Right.
It's pretty straightforward.
Right.
Nobody changes their name outside of college unless you're world-class douchebag or sociopath. But he's cutting back, and he did this whole thing where it's like, oh, we're going to have to close the parks. They're only going to be open 3 days a week, and the libraries are only going to be open 3 days a week. We're going to start cutting everything back. Here's my response to that. Fine. You want to know why? Because people who work can't go to the goddamn park in the middle of the effing week or the library in the middle of the effing week. We don't use those things. We go to work. We bust our ass. We pay for all of those things. And then the folks that don't pay for them use them. So be my guest. Close the parks during the week. Close the libraries during the week. Cut back on cops. I like the, oh, we're going to have to cut back on cops. Well, let me explain something. I don't use the cops. The cops use me. The cops pull me over for no front license plate or rolling through a four-way stop sign. So, Villaraigosa, Tony Villar, whatever you're going by this week, go ahead and cut back on the cops. Be the greatest day in the world.
Then you can roll through a stop sign. It'd be fine.
Fine.
All right.
Cut back on the libraries. Cut back on the cops. Cut back on the parks. That's all just a perk for me. But let's fix my goddamn street light. How about
there you
that?
Go.
Thank you for 60K, a-hole.
That's
go to adamcarolla.com to see the Ace Man with his special guest on stage live for four big nights at the Irvine Improv starting next week, April 15th. It's going to be awesome. Adamcarolla.com for tickets and information. We'll take a quick break. Come back with the Week in Rage right after this on the Kevin and Bean. The great Adam Carolla in our studio, as he is each Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ace Man, before we get to the thing, hearty thank you again for your time and participation in April Foolishness this past Saturday night at the Gibson. We really, really appreciate you showing up and helping us raise some money for the kids for that. That was great.
My pleasure. I had a good time.
And by the way, I'd also like to point out how funny this is. Just before Adam went on, we said, how do you want the music used this week in Rage? Because you're going to do it this week.
I wondered.
Yeah. Do you want us to play it right away? Or do you want to go out and say a few words and then ask for it? And he said, I'd like to go out and say a few words and ask for it. And then we didn't tell anyone that. So when Adam walked out, they played the intro. And then Adam asked for it and didn't get it. So we're
Can I just say this quickly?
Yes.
I've moved on in life.
Okay, good.
Philosophically. I announced this when I got home from the amphitheater. I said, you know what? I don't care that nobody does what I ask them to do anymore. Okay. I just want them to tell me in advance. Right. So when I say to the stage manager, I'm going to go out there and ask for the music cue, I just want him to say, I have no intention of doing that. And then at least I won't be thrown when I'm out there.
But it wasn't, I don't think it was him, I think it was us.
I talked to him,
too.
Oh,
you did, okay, all right.
Just from now on, just whether we're playing touch football and I tell you to go 10 yards and then hook it to the left and you run a banana to the flag on their side, just tell me in the huddle. Not going to happen. So I don't have the experience of rolling out to my left and going, where the F is this guy?
You're not going to...
Yeah, that's the part that screws you up. If he just looked at me and went, no way, man, then I would have won out and went, all right, I'll have to deal with this.
You're not trying to change people. You're not trying to fight with people. You just want to be in the loop. That's all you're saying,
tell me in advance it's not going to happen.
All right. When would you like your music for This Week in Rage?
Let's get it on.
No.
Oh, now.
Oh.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, number three, working down to number one. Number three, air fresheners. It used to be there was just that can that set on top of the commode there, and some guy'd come in there and crap up the bathroom, and then he'd give it a little whiff, you know, hit the thing, and it smelled like pine, and we were done with it. Now there's all these things that are like they run off 220, and they have battery backup systems and backup generators,
and they plug in,
and there's cords going everywhere. This one senses movement. This one works off thermal dynamics, and this one uses the same technology the Predator drone uses. It works at night. The cat comes in, it'll still the little burst of island mist and all this stuff. And then that thing where the chick walks into the living room and makes that face I've never made, especially alone. When they walk into that living room, that satisfied look, you know, where they go, wow, does my living room effing smell great? And I thought, I've never done that. I've never been that satisfied in my life. I've never made that face. And I'm just saying, we're using more Purell and more shampoo and more everything now. Do we still stink that badly?
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom, but not in the living room.
No,
this is all over the living room.
Oh, I see what you mean.
The pillows are being hit with the Febreze every 10 seconds. Nobody smokes a cigar anymore. What's going on in that living room where it stinks so badly? You know what I'm saying? Would you, your husband bringing a bunch of whores last night and really go to town? Like, what's going on in there? And do we need the one that senses movement and runs off 220? That's all I'm saying.
Is that overkill?
Yeah, just get a scented candle and call it a goddamn life.
All right, thank you.
All right. Number two, speaking of shampoos, you know, we're doing this thing where we're like, you know, you have to buy all this and you have to condition and you have to rinse and, you know, it's all part of good health and good hair care and all that kind of stuff. And then I was driving in to work the other day and I thought, you know what? I saw a bum and I thought, you know what? You never see a bald bum. They look like Sasquatch. I mean, bums have more hair than anybody else. As a matter of fact, most bums in their 50s or 60s have much more hair than most CEOs of most companies.
That's true.
I mean, it's coming. They have huge beards, huge whatever. They look like the Unabomber, these guys. And I thought, why is their scalp so healthy? How come there's no male pattern baldness going on with bums? These guys don't do anything. They live off of Sterno and Bugles. These guys, they walk the streets pushing a shopping cart, dragging a dog with a bandana. Never a bald spot. Nary a bald spot with the bums.
So what's your conclusion?
They don't use all the shampoo and all the conditioners and all the crap. They shower once a year at the beach using sand for shampoo. And look at their beautiful, healthy head of hair. I think we're poisoning our scalps.
Maybe you're right.
This is a why. You've never... Go find me a bald bum.
Wow. That's amazing, Adam.
I wish they were bald. I really do. Because, A, they stink with all that hair and beard and everything, and the next thing you know, they go up like a Roman candle when the high schoolers throw a flare at them while they're sleeping in a refrigerator box. So it'd be awesome if they didn't have all the hair. You talk about no God. Hey, give the guy who's trying to get laid in his 50s after he's divorced no hair, and give the guy who stinks walking the streets pushing a cart. We'll give him a ton of hair. What the hell?
What the hell indeed?
All right, let's do away with the shampoos and the Febreze.
Gone.
All right, number one, the porch light.
The porch light. I'm so mad at these porch lights.
Come on, man. What can't you complain about?
I'll tell you why. Because I went, it's getting warm outside now, and I went outside the other night to get my dog in, and I opened the front door, and I was hit with a barrage of these crane flies, these crazy giant mosquito things that are buzzing around. They're like big drunken flies that just fly around in a circle. They have no direction. And then there's moths, and there's every other kind of insect known to life. And they're all in the place I don't want them, which is directly in front of my front door.
You're saying the light draws them all there.
Yes, come on down, weird flying things that can get into the house so Adam can chase you around with a slipper drunk. What kind of plan is that? Why does the porch, there's pterodactyls up there and groundhogs and stuff. Why does it attract everything that's alive that's outdoors? It's called outdoors. You want it at your front door? No, someone has to invent a porch light that's not like, hey, come and get it, everybody. Yeah. Come on down. Or, everything that flies and stings, come on down.
Or position the porch light a long way away from your porch.
We have to get a remote porch light, like something that literally hits you in the face when you open your front door. I'm just saying, somebody make a porch light that's not a dinner bell to everything that flies.
They got to add some repellent is what they got to do, like some sort of sound waves that keep everything 100 yards away.
Hold on, the smell of fresh cut pine or an island breeze, perhaps. That would send them flying the other direction.
That's amazing. Hey, April 15th through the 18th, see Adam and friends on stage at the Irvine Improv the following Wednesday, the 21st, at the LBC Laugh Factory. Get details at adamcarolla.com. Now, will we see you next Friday? Because I know you're deep in rehearsal and practice for the Long Beach Grand Prix. You're in the celebrity race next weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got it. Yeah, it's qualifying next Friday.
That's what I thought. I seem to remember that's the schedule.
Well, maybe we'll do a phoner from the track or something like that.
Adam is one of the racers this year, along with Keanu Reeves, Christian Slater, Adrian Brody, Anthony Anderson, Brian Austin Green, Tony Hawk. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun down there in Long Beach. It's one of the biggest sporting events of the year in Southern California. And you've raced it before, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's good time.
You said you were going to take out Keanu, right?
Taking him out.
We had that in agreement. Mm-hmm.
All the details on tickets and the race at adamcarolla.com. Have a great weekend, Ace Man. Thanks for stopping by. Good. You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. He may be the only guy who could get Lemmy and Fergie to sing on his album. We're going to be talking to Slash coming up in about 20 minutes. He'll be stopping by the Kevin Bean Show. Good album, by the way. You have a chance to listen to it yet, Kevin?
Have not, no, but I'm
really good stuff. Yeah, looking forward to Slash. I love that dude, so he's coming in. Central Intelligence Agency has been in the news a lot lately. For starters, Kevin, you're going to love this. You've always talked about how you'd be a great CIA agent.
I said that I was a great CIA agent.
Oh, that's right.
Currently.
For the first time ever this week, the CIA issued instructions to his agents that they could kill on site an American, which is not something you normally see. This Muslim cleric, he's like Mr. Al-Qaeda. This guy's super bad news. He's hiding out in Yemen, but he's actually born in the United States. And you look at that and you go, how cool would that job be? If you have, I mean, none of us ever get instructions in our work that we can shoot somebody on site.
No,
that's true.
No,
isn't that awesome?
They don't even let us have a gun. You're right.
Except for dogs.
And then here's the great news if you're like me and you get super excited when you hear stories like that about how cool it is to work for the CIA. They're actually recruiting right now. They're actually advertising on the Kevin and Bean Show now to look for agents. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, here's a commercial that we've been playing here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey. Sit down by your father and try this pastry. It is Ktir Taibe.
There's something I want to share.
You got the new car?
It's not a convertible, is it?
Now, my favorite thing about these commercials is that they target different groups because they want to advertise to that group and say, we want you.
Right.
We want you.
We want people like you.
We want everyone. The last time it was Hispanics, I believe. Mm-hmm. This time it seems to be the Muslim angle.
No, Mom. I got a new job.
What's wrong with your old one?
This one's better. I'll be making a difference.
And?
It offers good pay and benefits.
But they can't get actors. That's the one thing that we've learned about them.
What is wrong with your old job?
What is wrong with your
old
job?
Seriously, they couldn't get someone better than that?
That's what I'm saying.
And who's this family that has a sitar player sitting in their living room while they're having dinner? What's that about?
I'll be using my degree in foreign affairs, but there are also opportunities in law, medicine, IT.
So what company was wise enough to offer my daughter this new job?
It's not a company. It's our nation.
Our nation?
I'll be keeping federal policymakers informed.
Like senators?
Even the president.
So where's this Wasif Ejdide?
Just outside D.C. At some point, I might relocate.
Many career options, countless ways to serve at the Central Intelligence Agency.
All right, now...
Peace be with you.
Now, here's the thing. They have been... you may have noticed that we've been doing a lot more personal endorsements. We do commercials. A lot of clients prefer them that way. And apparently, our own Miss Cleo was contacted about doing a commercial for the CIA. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I mean, it's no secret that I am of Middle Eastern descent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, both my parents are Egyptian, and so they said this might be a good opportunity
good
to use
fit.
You.
Now, you haven't sent this to them yet, have you?
No,
this
I wanted to run it by you guys first.
Okay. All right, so here's Miss Cleo and her commercial for the Central Intelligence Agency.
Daddy, guess what? I have some great news.
Oh, what is it this time?
I got a new job.
What?
I'm working for the CIA.
I'm sorry, you're what?
You heard, I'm working for the CIA. I want to serve our country.
Can you even spell CIA?
Dad, you don't understand. They're giving me great benefits, and I get to protect and serve our country.
Okay, but are you like a CIA stripper?
No, Dad, I'll be a real professional.
Like a real professional stripper?
Dad, you don't understand. I'm going to be a legitimate CIA agent, and I'm really excited about it.
Okay, look at here, my little Habibi. I love you and all, but... CIA agent, come on, how about you just work on keeping the mouth shut and show off those boobs? I mean, see, look at those things.
Ew, come on, that's disgusting.
No, but seriously, okay? You not so much with the talky-talk, just God has given you a gift. Look at your chest, look at that, okay? All the back pain has to be worth something.
Dad, you never support me in anything that I do!
Oh, do your jumping jacks, shut up!
Well, what do you guys think?
Well, my guess is... Maybe you should have another go around.
Try it again. I feel bad for Cleo with all the abuse she gets at work. I didn't know that that's what she went home to. It's no better with your dad.
Slash joins us to talk about his new solo album coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's great. We're going to play some of it, right? Play some of the songs?
We are.
So people can hear that? Okay, cool. Here's a shocking thing. He has a different lead singer on every track, and Psycho Mike assures me, as does Slash, who was on Loveline, that the Fergie track might be the best.
Really?
Fergie.
She's a well-known rocker.
I mean, really, that's a shock, right?
So we'll talk all about that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. And we've got more tickets for you to the premiere of Kick-Ass this Tuesday night at the Arclight in Hollywood. Man, this thing is getting rave reviews. It's about teenagers who decide they're going to be superheroes. And they get some outfits and they go out and they fight crime and hilarity ensues. It looks awesome. One of the stars of this movie is actor Clark Duke, who you've seen on the television show Greek. He also currently co-stars as a major character in one of the movies in the top 10 right now. He's in another huge hit movie right now. Just tell us what that movie is from Clark Duke and be the first of two callers to get that right. And you'll win tickets to see Kick-Ass 3 days ahead of its opening next Friday. Call 1-800-520-1067.
Robert Downey Jr. is a sucker for the ladies. According to this headline, Gwyneth Paltrow talked to AbsoluteNow.com and said that when he was on the set of Iron Man 2 and Scarlett Johansson showed up.
Yes.
Apparently, he kind of went a little nuts and started acting up and was
being
excited.
Stupid.
Yeah, and it was exciting.
Who wouldn't? Trying to figure out how to kill and bury his wife, all that stuff.
Well, I don't think that's part of the story, no. No, but Scarlett Johansson. I mean, really, how could Iron Man 2 be better other than...
She's not in that movie, is she?
Yes.
I think so.
Scarlett Johansson is?
Yes, oh, Iron Man 2, great. Yeah. She kicks ass. Oh. She wears a tight... like suit and kicks ass. I don't even understand it, but it's awesome.
Okay.
So there you go. Iron Man 2. All what right. else do you need?
I'm down. Your favorite attorney is in the news, Kevin. Gloria Allred was on the TV yesterday.
No, what?
This time not representing a Tiger Woods or Jesse James mistress. Gloria Allred is a attorney who will represent anyone as long as it gets her on TV. And now it's just turned into a freak show because her new client is 3'7" tall. Her new client is a midget. Gloria Allred had a press conference yesterday to announce that she is filing a disability discrimination claim against a college. This woman was going to Everett College in Reseda, California to become a medical assistant, and she was dropped from the program. The school told her that she would never be able to make it as a medical assistant in the real world because she's a midget. And it, by the way, Gloria Allred aside, sounds like she's got a pretty legitimate case to me.
Yes.
Sounds like you can't really kick somebody out of school because they're short.
Yeah, that is odd. But then there's also the physicality of having to be on stilts in the, you know,
in the operating room. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, there is something about that.
And she's not just a midget. So this case isn't that cut and dry. She's
3'7" is pretty short.
No, I know. But on top of being 3'7", she's kind of deformed. I'm not trying to poke fun at this girl, but we have, for the sake of the story, everybody getting the facts, she's got like her arm. She has no shoulders. They're connected to like her face, and she has mobility problems.
Oh, really?
And her arms are probably a half a foot long. Okay, yeah. I mean, like, this girl is like a, like, she's got serious, serious physical problems above and beyond being 3'7".
So basically,
she's hooked up.
So basically, they're just telling her, you should look somewhere else, but now they're going to get sued because they actually kicked her out.
Right, but the problem is let's say a guy's going into cardiac arrest and she's the one who's responsible for, you know, resuscitating this guy or giving him the paddles. She couldn't pull it off.
I thought it was dentistry. How much?
No, she needed a medical assistant. I think that means essentially nurse, right? I mean, she's going to be working in hospitals.
I think so.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about a dentist. Okay. But the truth is that they probably should have let her try to complete the program, graduate, and then find out on her own that she couldn't get a job.
I guess.
Rather than kick her out, I guess. Or give her the best advice for all midgets, which is the circus, dude. I mean, that's really where you belong, right?
How?
What? I'm just...
How are you going to... What's the reason
he
for...
He does.
Okay.
Tiger Woods astonished everybody by keeping it together, well, with the one exception of throwing his club after that one shot yesterday, which is not maybe the new Zen Tiger. But imagine the pressure you feel if you're Tiger Woods and you're coming back to play golf for the first time in 6 months and you've got the eyes of the world on you and you don't know how you're going to be received and you're out there and you shoot the game of your life. I mean, he shot a 4-under par 68 yesterday, which is the best first-round tournament that he's ever shot at the Masters. And he's a guy who's won the Masters 4 times.
Wow.
It really is stunning.
But I have it's a incredible. New hero, though, and that's the guy that shouted after he hit the bad shot yesterday. There's a guy in the crowd that says, no. And then Tiger throws his club and says, God!
No!
God! Whoever that dude is that goes, no, is my hero.
I'm surprised they didn't kick him out.
They may have. There's no heckling allowed at Augusta.
I mean, it was not like he said, oh, no, or that's not, or, oh.
He's just looking. No.
If you see the highlights on TV today, though, he had 2 eagles in the round. He pulled off an unbelievable 9th-hole hook shot around some trees to set up a birdie. He said he was very pleased. That's what Tiger's comment was after the fact.
And if you see,
he was getting a lot of love from the crowd. There was definitely a lot of applause, but I mean that's kind of how it was before the scandal too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most popular golfer in the world.
Guess whose finances are in more trouble than we even thought? Nicolas Cage. Hard to imagine. He has a 1/4-acre Bel Air mansion that was foreclosed on earlier this week. The LA Times said the home was originally listed for $35 million.
Wow.
They decided they couldn't get the $35 million, so they dropped it to $10 million.
That's quite a discount.
That's a fire sale.
No one wanted it. Foreclosed.
I do not understand this. He makes so much money on every movie. He must have just been spending his money like a crazy
man. He is a $15 to $20 million a movie guy, right?
But he has,
That's exactly what happened, Lisa.
An island and just
castles
stuff everywhere. He's
spending it faster than he's making it. So the way it's going, this is not going to be the first of his houses that are going to be foreclosed on. It's bad news. By the way, Nicolas Cage is one of the stars in the new film Kick-Ass. We do have those tickets to give away. Let's go to Casey real quick on line 2. Clark Duke is one of the stars of Kick-Ass. He also stars in what other movie in this week's top 10, Casey?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
He's one of the guys in the hot tub with John Cusack and Craig Robinson. Congratulations. You're going to go see the movie next Tuesday. It opens on Friday. And thanks to Denise for calling the Kevin and Bean Show to win those tickets, too.
It's so funny when he goes back to whatever year they went back to, and this chick walks up and he goes, Mom? It's his actual mom.
Pretty creepy.
Awesome.
You talked about Nicolas Cage's finances. Let me tell you about somebody whose finances are doing fine, and that is Glenn Beck. You guys ever watch his show on Fox?
Oh, yeah.
It's the number 2 highest rated show on cable after Bill O'Reilly's show. He made last year $32 million, Glenn Beck did.
What? How?
$2 million from the TV show. $4 million off the internet, and I'm not exactly sure. I'd love to see a breakdown of how he made $4 million on the internet. I don't know whether he's got subscriptions to his website or what he's offering. $3 million off of live events. You know, he's a guy that you can hire to come speak at your company or something like that and pay him a
pretty penny. A motivational speaker?
Right.
That's what I was going to say. He sells out really large places when he goes into
he's a rock star.
Speaking tours. Yeah.
He's a rock star. $10 million off of his nationally syndicated radio show and $13 million off of his best-selling books. And the best thing about Beck, and by the way, he crazy. Don't get me wrong. He also, at times, is very entertaining. He's like watching that Jim Cramer on the Mad Men show where he's just running around, throwing his hands up in the air, and just saying crazy stuff, right? But it's kind of fun to watch.
Cartoonish?
There are those who say that the trick to his success is simple. He knows that what he does is for entertainment purposes, and he doesn't even really give a crap about the politics of it. He just knows that it makes good television and people will watch it.
So he doesn't believe what he's saying. He's just
saying
it.
That's what some radio analysts are saying is, look, he's just an incredibly shrewd businessman. He's playing a character just like Stephen Colbert is playing a character on his show, except Glenn Beck is doing it to the tune of $32 million.
Wow. He's a maniac when he's on that show. Sometimes if you sit and watch it, it's some of the best entertainment you can get. And if you watch it on mute, you have to go back and turn the sound on because you can't believe the gestures and the facial expressions that this guy is putting up on screen. It's unbelievable.
That's so weird. I've never seen that show.
Look, I love Dick Cheney. I should start figuring out a way to turn that into this kind of cash. Come on.
Unbelievable. Celebrity birthdays, Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner, 84 years old.
Wow.
How about that?
The dude that plays Jacob on Lost, actor Mark Pellegrino, is 45 years old. How good is he?
He's great.
He's also on Dexter, by the way.
And I like his water.
Oh, my God. Let me mark that.
Mark it.
How did no one else
file
do this?
Because it was bad.
Of course.
All right.
Porn star, what, are you good?
No. Porn star Jenna Jameson, 36. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance is 33. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 30. Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is 24. By the way, Gossip Girl, unwatchable.
It's a terrible show.
It's terrible. It's just not watchable.
And yet a lot of people watch it.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Singer, actor Jesse McCartney is 23. And dead actress Kristen Stewart. I think she's dead. I'm not sure.
She's not dead.
I think she's legally dead.
She's just low energy, Kevin.
Oh, low energy. Not dead. Okay. She turns 20 today, and that is the show.
Hey, Slash, nice top hat, man. How are you?
Thanks, man.
That's not. He's
Guns
not
N' Roses
yet.
Is good, but I'm working on my new album
he's
right here.
Here.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Slash isn't here yet. Okay, no. He's on his way. All right, Omar is here because it's time to give away tickets for the Super Secret Gorillaz show. Now they are headlining night number 3 of Coachella. Ella. As you know, and they they're doing a Super Secret warm up show. You cannot buy tickets for, but you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show with a little game we like to call Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, so the way this game is played is you're going to be singing a very popular song by one of the bands that's playing the Coachella Festival next weekend in Indio. All the caller has to do is identify by title and artist that song. If they're right, they go into the drawing, and then Callie will say who wins the Gorillaz tickets, right?
Yes, Lisa will say that. And again, it's the tickets are for Gorillaz, but this is all bands from Coachella that you have to pick from that Omar's going to butcher. All right, here we go.
Give it a try.
Let's start with Greg. Hi, Greg.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
You ready?
Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Good luck.
Interested in girls, I discovered myself. In your eyes, I've upgraded hours of my health. In the interest in the culture, you be lining the walls. When your birth is in the chat, you could accrue with all.
Vampire Weekend?
How about
Yes. What did he say the song?
He did.
Oh, are we asking for the song? We're asking for title and artist. Yeah, that was what we said. Anyway.
What's the title?
Holiday?
Who knew?
Wow.
Cousins, that one's called, but thank you for playing the game.
Oh, man. Sorry about that whole false hope thing.
He's like, yes! Oh. It's not so much with the winning.
I need to read the rules. All right. Carol, hi.
Hi.
Hey, okay.
Under jobs, it says count money. Yep. I don't know what that means, but.
All right. I work in a warehouse. I work in a big box, and I count money.
Whoa, box.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, for who? Do you count it for banks or what?
No, I work for Costco.
And you count money.
Oh, and you count money.
He literally.
But who ever pays cash at Costco? Ever?
Believe it or not, people still do it.
How about that?
I'm shocked by that. I've never carried enough cash to be able to buy stuff at Costco.
Because it's not affordable.
Right, can we get to the best part?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just you can't walk out of there. Yeah, you can't walk out of there for less than $100.
Big deal.
All right, Omar, take it easy. All right. Let's all get that.
Turn your phone off.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Is your secret safe tonight? And are we out of sight? Or will our world come tumbling down?
Please tell me you know this.
Will they find our hiding place?
Okay, that's enough, though. That's enough.
Is this our last embrace?
If she doesn't know it by now, she's not going to know it. All right, yeah. Carol, what's the title and artist of that?
Of course, I do not know.
Oh!
That's Resistance by Muse. Is your secret
safe tonight? Yeah. I have a feeling they're going to bring me on stage to do that song with them.
Yeah, that didn't sound anything like it. Oh. So
I have a feeling that Slash is turning the limo around and going back home if he's listening on his way in right now.
Crystal, hi.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
All right, we've had no winners so far. Good luck. Here's Omar Roki.
I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. Oh, in a bag, God. I'm useless.
She's out. Oh, yes?
Gorillaz, Feel Good? No. Oh, what is it?
It's Gorillaz.
It's Clint Eastwood is the name of the song.
Right?
Yeah. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine.
Wow.
In
ouch.
A bag.
Wow.
Close. Ouch. All right. Are we in sudden death now? Yeah. Are we at the point now you get it, you go? Is that what we're doing with Gorillaz?
Sudden death. You get it, you win, because we cannot take any more of Omar's singing. All right. Frank.
Hello.
Please, God, get this right.
You were a child, crawling on your knees towards it, making mama so proud, but your voice is too loud. We like to watch you laughing, you picking the insects off the plants. No time to think of consequences.
All right, no relation whatsoever to the actual melody of that song, but what's the title and artist?
Oh, damn it.
Oh, damn it.
You suck.
Come on. That was like... Oh. We like to watch you laughing. Just a little MGMT.
MGMT kids. Yeah. All right. Still in sudden death. Let's try one more contestant and hopefully get a winner for the Gorillaz Super Secret Show from the Kevin Bean Show. We're playing Omar Roki.
All right. Javier.
Hey, what's going on, Lisa?
Please.
Hello.
All right. There's no time to hit on Lisa. We need a winner. Get this right.
All right. It's 20 seconds till last call, and you're going, hey, 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 hey. Lie down, you know it's easy, like we did over summer long, and I'll be anything you ask and more. You're going, hey, 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 hey.
All right, good.
It's
okay,
not
that's
America
fine. That, thank
we
you.
Needed.
Thank you. That's fine. Javier, what title and artist, please? Get it right.
Oh, my God.
Please.
What? Hold on. Don't, no, no, oh, my God.
No.
Come on.
Let him think.
Okay. Damn it, I'm going to kick myself in the ass.
Please.
All right. I'm going to go all day.
1901. Phoenix.
Oh, wow. Man.
All right, we got to get a winner. We got to
David.
I got plans this weekend. Let's do it. Come on.
Come on. Slash is here.
This is the hardest one, too.
Slash is here in the next room, and we're doing this. All right.
Sell it, Omar. Sell it.
David, get it right.
You've got to share it, so you dare it, then you bear it, and then you tear it. You want it all, but you can have it. It's in your face, but you can't grab it.
Come on, right. Dude.
That was terrible, but it was the right song, and he sang it okay, so please know it.
Please. I have faith in you.
If I would have gotten the last two, I would have gotten those. This one.
Oh, I have faith. I have less faith in you now than I did before.
I've got no more faith in you at all. Because that was epic singing. Come on, man. Help us out here.
What's happening?
Wow. All right, let's go to Trevor on line 7. Trevor, I swear to God, I'm going to come to your house and hit you in the face if you don't get this one, okay?
Hey, guys, I won the last two days in a row, so maybe we should just forego the singing and
just give it to you?
Yeah.
Fine with me. No.
No, the listeners want to hear my beautiful voice.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. I do want to hear this song. All right,
okay,
here we go.
Here we go.
This ain't a number one record. This is practically assault with a deadly weapon. I made it just for flex and Mr. C, I want people to feel threatened. Stop your blood crying. The kid, the dog, everybody dying. No line. Your beans, your boy's jeans too tight. Your color's too bright.
Right.
Your voice too light.
All right, there you go.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, listen. Listen. Come on.
Caller 20, 1-800.
Come on, come on.
Color's too bright.
That was Jay-Z.
That's
all right.
Jay-Z DOA. Caller 20, 1-800-520-1067. Congratulations. You are going to see Gorillaz in a super secret show.
Oh,
hit that anytime.
That's our game and how much fun we had.
No.
Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Slash from Velvet Revolver.
Last year, when Time Magazine was putting together their list of the greatest guitar players of all time, Slash only came in at number two. I mean, I don't know how disappointed you are with that. But he is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Slash has returned. How are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, you got to turn up your headphones, right? Headphones.
Well, that was a waste of a big intro right there.
You're going to have to do it again, Bean. You're going to have to do it again now. All right.
All right, Slash isn't used to being in a studio with equipment, so
come on,
it's new to him.
I'm just not used to having to do it myself.
Exactly, you got people for that. Exactly. Well, Slash, it's great to see you. You know, we always love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I got to be honest, I remember the very first time we ever had you on this show. You know, you have preconceived notions of what somebody's going to be like based on what little you know about them, and your public persona was always this, you know, this badass guitar player who we never saw talk before. And then we had you on the show. You're like the nicest guy in the world. You're just like so super mellow and friendly and articulate. I would have expected that from you, but I mean that as a compliment.
That was then.
Now you're ready to get into the dick phase of your life, right?
No, I appreciate that. You know, thank you.
First things first. You went on the Tonight Show with Team Coco Button.
Right.
All right.
the greatest act of defiance in television history.
That makes you our hero. All right.
You are
It was actually no big deal. It wasn't supposed to be any kind of a big deal. I was just showing support for my buddy Conan, you know.
And we loved it.
There you have it.
But did Jay see it? Did he know?
I think what happened was when they were watching editing the playback after we got done playing, then all of a sudden they were like, oh, my God.
Oh, and they noticed it then?
And then it was a big deal.
It blew up all over the internet, obviously. Every website in the world had a screen cap of you wearing the Coco Button. And it's just, I mean, it's such an F you to Leno. I just love it so much.
Well, it wasn't intentional like that.
It was just more your man.
It was more for Conan. It wasn't really a diss to Leno.
Right.
Can we take it as both?
You guys are going to do whatever you want with it, obviously.
All right. What put you on Team Coco, by the way? What makes you such a Conan fan?
I've always liked him as a person. He's a cool guy ever since the first time that I ever went on his show. And then over the years, we just got to be sort of buddies, and I've done a lot of sort of skits with him and this and that. And, you know.
How is he as a guitar player, by the way? I know he loves the guitar.
You know what? I'm not really sure.
Really?
He jokes about it a lot, but I've never actually seen him execute anything on the guitar.
I'm surprised because if I'm friends with Slash and I'm a guitar player, I'm calling him up all the time going, hey, Slash, help me.
No. I don't think I am. I think I'm not going to want to play my guitar in front of Slash.
Yeah, he's never played in front of me as far as that I can remember.
Well, you need to demand it.
Okay. He's out on the road right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yep.
Slash is, by the way, not out on the road, but he is doing something very special. If you're in Southern California, it can't still be possible to get tickets to see you at the Roxy tomorrow night, can it, Slash?
It sold out pretty quick.
Yeah.
I would imagine so, yeah. Now, what's going to happen on stage? Who's going to be playing in the band with you?
Well, okay, my band comprises of Miles Kennedy on vocals. Nice. And Brent Fitz on drums, Todd Kearns on bass, and Bobby Schneck on rhythm guitar.
Now, Miles Kennedy is a name that a lot of people may not know, but he's the lead singer of Alter Bridge, which is obviously a huge band, and he sings a couple songs on your new record, and I guess at the show tomorrow night, he'll be singing some of the other songs on the record that you have different guest vocalists for on the album, right?
Miles is an enigma. He's this really nice, very mild-mannered kind of guy, and he can belt it out like nobody else. I mean, he's amazing. Yeah. He was sort of a late discovery when I was making the record. He was I had this one song that I thought was one of my proudest moments musically, and I couldn't figure out who I wanted to sing it. And I just thought, well, there's that guy, Miles Kennedy, who I'd never met, but I knew he had a great voice. So I called him up, and I just, you know, throwing caution to the wind, sent him the music. And he came back like about 4 days later with a vocal on it. I had no idea what to expect, and it was amazing. It's
really?
A song called Starlight on the record, and that was the last thing that I recorded.
How did you come up with the idea originally to have all different lead singers?
I think, you know, because I do a lot of session work, and I jam with all kinds of different people sort of outside the, you know, hard rock sort of genre. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I do it so much, I finally got to a point where I go, you know, it'd be really cool to have a bunch of people play on a record that I sort of wrote. And at the end of the Last Velvet Revolver tour, I decided that I wanted to do something on my own and decided to use that concept as my sort of whatever breakout thing. You know,
Slash, how are you as a singer?
You know, I can hold a note, but I just I don't have the personality for it. I'm a little bit, it's just for, I hate to write. I don't even like to hum to myself. Okay,
really?
Interesting.
You know, and I hate sort of putting my thoughts and feelings on paper and trying to communicate them via you know, song.
So you write music.
Yeah. I mean, I write lyrics sometimes.
You do.
You know,
okay.
I've had to do it in a pinch, but on this record, there was a couple little pieces where I had some input, but for the most part, I like to leave it to people who do that for a living.
Tell people who sing on your record.
Who sings on the record?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, Ozzy's on it. Chris Cornell is on it. Adam Levine's on it. Fergie's on it. Ian Astbury's on it. Rocco DeLuca, Miles Kennedy, Iggy Pop. It's a long list.
Anyone we've heard of?
were most of these people already, most of these people were friends of yours, or were there a lot of cases where it was a cold call like it was with Miles?
There was a few cases where it was a cold call like it was with Miles. M. Shadows, Rocco DeLuca, Miles Kennedy are guys that I had never met before.
Interesting.
When I started making the record, what I did was I wrote the songs and I think who would sound good on each particular piece of music. So I started out and I took all the music that had people that I knew to make those first calls, because, you know, the rejection factor was looming large, right?
I don't.
So
who's going to say no to singing on your record?
And I'd like to think that I was that cool, but it's just not.
You sit on a throne, and they all come in and kneel.
Right. Bring me grapes.
Right.
So what I did was I called Iggy Pop. Ozzy was the first call that I made. Alice Cooper, who actually is on the record, but on the UK version.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's Alice Cooper, Flea, Steve Adler, and Nicole Scherzinger. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, she can belt it out too. Let me tell you.
How come those aren't on the American version? Why do you hate the U.S.?
No, it's because I had. There's 14 tracks on the U.S. version. The U.K. Put out this special release with Classic Rock magazine for the first month.
And can
we
get
that?
And
they really wanted the exclusive on the Alice Cooper track.
Oh, I got you.
Can you get it?
Yeah.
Well, it's an import right now.
Okay.
It comes in this bitchin' magazine, and you just get it with the magazine. And then it'll come out sort of via the regular distributor with Roadrunner.
Eventually.
Yeah. No, next month.
Next month,
yeah.
All right, anyhow. Nicole Scherzinger.
I didn't finish answering the original question.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So I called all the guys that I knew, right, to sing, and I knew that that would be the safest bet.
Right.
And then, like, Chris Cornell, Kid Rock, Fergie, people that I know but I don't know that well, I went next because I got my courage up.
Right.
And then I felt so ballsy, I started calling people I didn't know. Andrew Stockdale was one guy that I'd never met. I didn't even know what his name was. He was just the guy from Wolfmother.
Right. With the giant afro.
All right, just to get that across.
Okay. By the way, that's an unbelievable song, too, The Sword. And we're going to be hearing a little piece of that and some more from Slash's record coming up here in a minute on the Kevin DeBean Show. But I have to ask, because with Nicole Scherzinger, nobody looks at her or watches Pussycat Dolls videos and goes, wow, she's a hell of a singer. Everybody looks at her and goes, I need to meet her. How can I do it? And that's what's going on here, right, Slash?
Well, no. What happened was we did this song with Alice Cooper called Baby Can't Drive, and it was about sort of your modern young adult girl, mm-hmm. you know, with the BlackBerry and driving in the car and, you know, using her knees to steer and texting and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I thought, you know, it'd be great is if we sort of had a call and answer where you actually have the character that is the girl and Alice is sort of the older person. And I was trying to think who sounded bratty enough or who was young enough and sort of represent.
And pull that off.
And I thought Nicole Scherzinger. I've never even seen the Pussycat Dolls. I just know the one song from the radio.
Right.
But so she came in and we gave her the lyrics and then she just belted it out, changed the whole trajectory of what I was thinking about, but it came out really cool. So
one more thing before the break slash you must have grown up as a guitar fan and guys like Ozzy and Alice Cooper must have been idols of yours.
Oh, of
and
course.
How crazy is it that now you can, you know, pal around with them and for God's sakes be in a studio recording? I mean, you're still a fan in addition to being a musician in your own right.
I'm a big fan. You know, it was, I think, just from years and years of hanging out with these guys and jamming here and there. I've been on a few Alice Cooper records, and I played with Ozzy a bunch of times. Been mm-hmm. friends with Lemmy and played on Motorhead records and Iggy Pop as well. So I've established a relationship, even though they are my ultimate heroes. It was,
yeah.
you know.
You've done charmed. So many different amazing things. Does it all start to mash together? I mean... Is one stand out above another?
Well, I mean,
you really have had an amazing career with a lot of amazing musicians.
I think you know everybody. I appreciate the you know the whole amazing thing, but I think you know getting playing with James Brown and Ray Charles were you know big high points. But then playing on Iggy's Brick by Brick record was a huge thing for me. Playing on a Motorhead record was a big deal. So I really love to be able to be in that sort of position to jam with all these different
guys. Jam with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, Michael. You know, Michael was awesome.
It's really just really an amazing career. Slash is in the studio, and we're going to come back and play some, give you a taste of his CD in a second, and we'll continue on the Kevin and Bean Show. What just happened?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Slash is in the studio, and we're going to come back and play some, give you a taste of his CD in a second, and we'll continue on the Kevin and Bean
That's
Show.
That's a tough word today, huh?
What just happened?
That was a moment with Kevin. Oh,
it was 5 minutes ago. Come on now. How fast are we turning those around?
Omar couldn't wait for that one.
Come on.
Poor Slash, by the way. He's out promoting his new solo album called Slash. And this week he's been working like a dog. He's been on Leno. He's been on Craig Ferguson. He's been on George Lopez. End of the week, least professional show he's ever done. It's kind of a sad way to round up your week. I'm sorry about that, Slash.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right.
Sold out tomorrow night, I guess, your show. People can't come to that. But you are doing the video shoot. That's happening. Is
that
something that people...
actually when I leave here.
Oh, today.
Okay.
Yeah, today.
Is that something people can come to or no? Is that private?
That's what you would call sold out, too.
Okay.
So okay. So you can't come to that.
We do have an audience, but we got everybody that we needed.
You solicited already. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the new record. You explained how it came to be. What a all-star lineup of guest stars. We want to give people a taste of what it's like, and we're going to start with a little bit of the Ian Asprey song, which is one of my two or three favorites on the record. He's the singer of The Cult. What's he doing now? There is no more Cult, right,
no,
Slash?
The Cult still actually does some tours and stuff, so they're still together. But he's got a lot of stuff going on. He was telling me about it when he was in the studio. It's all very left field and eclectic kind of stuff. Which,
what a great voice Ian's got, though.
Yeah,
right?
He's amazing to watch in the studio. It's like completely effortless. You know, for listen him to get to, that drama. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to a little bit of this. This is the lead off track of the Slash solo album. This is a little bit of Ghost.
That's a great lyric. Kill the ghost that hide in your soul, rock and roll. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's why I don't like lyrics.
Where do your riffs come from, Slash? Do you just noodle around on a guitar until you hit upon a sequence that sounds good, or are you a guy who wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, I got it, I got to write this down?
There's all those different scenarios. That particular song was an idea that came actually before Scott came into Velvet Revolver, was where that song originated.
Oh, is that right?
And it just never came to be, and I always thought it was a great riff, so I resurrected it. You know?
Nice.
But sometimes the Iggy Pop song was actually a piece of, like a riff that came to me while I was, like in a dream. believe it or
is
not.
That
I know
right?
That sounds so cliche, but it did. And it stuck with me. And I remember getting the guitar out to make sure I remembered it. You know, and sometimes it's just noodling, and sometimes it's something that gets in your head that you're, you know, whatever you're doing all day, this thing just starts pounding away in your head, and then you pick up a guitar wherever you can find one. And there's all different kinds of scenarios.
I think the most famous story in that vein is the one that's been so widely quoted about Keith Richards saying he woke up in the middle of the night, turned on a tape recorder, laid down the first four bars of Satisfaction for the Rolling Stones, yeah. then went back to sleep. And when he woke up the next day, he didn't even remember doing it. And thank God he had a recorder for it.
Yeah, it happens. And it's always good to have some way of you know, getting it down so that, you know, spontaneously you can get it recorded, because you will forget.
Beautiful Dangerous is the song that Fergie sings on. Now, Mike, host of Loveline, Fergie, this is your song, right? This is the one you like the best on the record.
I did, and Slash was telling me about how much he really liked this tune, and like I said, I'm a guy who has Ozzy and Lemmy tattoos, so I was you know, humoring him, sure, Slash, whatever, I'm gonna like the Fergie song. I got in my car, put on this album, and lo and behold, it is an amazing track, and I love it. I think it's one of my favorites on the album.
This is Beautiful Dangerous.
Yeah, she's got to dump those Black Eyed Peas. It's time for a change for Fergie.
I mean, the deal with Fergie is she's actually a rock singer, and she just never had the opportunity to sort of make it. It's hard for girls to pull it off in a rock band.
Yeah.
She's great in Black Eyed Peas. When I first met her, we were doing a gig at the Avalon, right? Mm-hmm. And Black Eyed Peas were doing a fundraiser, and they called me up and asked me if I wanted to be one of their mini guests that night.
Right.
And so I got down to soundcheck, and they said, we're doing this rock medley, and Fergie's going to sing it. I'd never met her. I'd never seen her, but I knew a couple of songs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed that she was like Puerto Rican or black or whatever, because that's what she sounds like in the Black Eyed Peas. So we're doing Black Dog, and she walks in, and she gets on the mic, and it blew my mind. And a little,
that's coming out of her.
A white girl from Orange County. Anyway, and so that stuck with me, and I've jammed with her a bunch. And when I was making this record, I had this one song that actually was a piece of music I wrote for a score in a movie for a strip bar scene. So I called her up and I said, I've got this song, you know, check it out. And so she heard it and she loved it. And then she came down to my little garage where I was doing the demos at and put down that vocal. As good as that.
Wow.
You know? And
that's amazing.
Like, wow, this is cool. So,
all right, we need to take another break. Can you stick around?
Oh, you're
for
a
more?
Bad person. We're just having a conversation
you're
with
cool?
the Slash here.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. We have some more clips. We'll talk some more about the album. Slash is in studio, and we will continue on the Kevin and Bean. Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K Rock at 8:53. We're calling a variable here. We're supposed to do showbiz, but we don't care because Slash is here.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk with Slash some more.
I see Adam West's name right here.
Yeah, he's going to be after the top of the hour. We're going to talk to Adam West. You want to stick around for that?
Are you a big fan of TV's Batman?
I think Adam West is great. He's a survivor.
He's awesome.
He is.
He's amazing. And the guy's 80 or 81 years old and as sharp as ever, too.
He doesn't look it.
I know. We love having him on the show.
Super funny, too.
Yeah, he does a lot of cartoons, and he's just, you know, he's cool.
Great. Family guy.
He's the mayor, yeah. Slash is here. The new solo album is just called Slash. If you're just joining us, well, first of all, you're lame. You should have been listening from the beginning, because he's had some fantastic stories about all the people that are on the record. We're going through some of the tracks so you get a taste of what it is before you buy it, and you should buy it. Right now, we're up to the track by Andrew Stockdale. He's singing lead on a song called By the Sword. Who's got the bigger hair, you or the guy from Wolf Mother?
Actually, he did have the bigger hair, but he just cut it.
Did he really?
And he looks really good, and he grew a full-on, you know, like a mountaineer beard.
He's got to have hair somewhere.
Trying to bring that back?
He looks killer, though. You know?
The first time I ever saw him was at a Coachella festival, and I was far enough away that all I could see was his giant afro bouncing up and down. But what an amazing voice.
He's got an amazing voice. And you know what? On top of that, he's one of these guys who is one of the last real, real solid rock purists. Like, he's really into, he's got his roots down, and he knows exactly what things should be like and what he's influenced by, and sticks to his guns. It's very cool to see.
Is that why, didn't he fire all the other guys in Wolfmother and hire all new guys?
I know that he's not, I don't know if he fired them. I think there's something happened with those guys, and he did get new guys.
They all got in car accidents?
I think it was a little bit more personal. I'm not sure the whole story.
right.
Although
it doesn't matter. All right.
Slash, you wouldn't know how to be in a band if there weren't tons of drama and lots of people being fired, right? I mean, that's pretty much normal for your career, right?
Yeah. I mean, bands are drama. You know, you think they are drama at home when you join a band.
You know? Well, this is a great song. I think this is another one of my very favorites on the record. Andrew Stockdale from Wolfmother singing on Slash's song called "By the Sword." Listen up. Will you be in another band with a permanent lineup again, Slash? Or do you think you want to?
Velvet Revolver is still together. We just
all right.
What happened was,
No.
I that's definitely true. We had a meeting last week, so we have plans to get together next year, depending on what Duff's doing with Jane's Addiction. And I should be done with this tour. I'm about to go on the road, just so you know. And so in October, we're going to stop, and then we get together and see where the singer situation. We've very quietly been looking for singers while all this other stuff has been
going
on.
That seems like a difficult
thing because you're looking for somebody who's got roots like, say, Andrew, and that's a rarity, you know, where you get somebody who really has the understands
the
rock and roll
deal.
And what it means and what it's all about.
Tell me about being in the studio with your friend Duff and your other friend Dave Grohl and how this song ended up on the record.
Are you going to play it?
Yes.
Maybe.
You said how this song. Like, okay.
I'll play it if you want first. Either way.
Either way. All right, up to you guys.
I'll just fill the void here.
Okay.
Anyway, well, what happened was, this is actually a good story. I had this really cool riff and, you know, some chord changes and whatever, and I had it pegged for Dave to sing it. And Dave and I, you know, I had to track him down. He's hard to track down.
Yeah.
And we had this we have kids that go to the same school. So there was a fundraiser, and they wanted me to get Dave to come down and play. You know, and I had my little Slash's Blues Ball band come down and do the gig. And
right.
So Dave came down, and that's when I nailed him. I said, I want you to sing on the song.
This was at a middle school?
Kindergarten.
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 Wow.
Anyway.
The only group of people that don't know who Slash and Dave Grohl are.
Right?
Probably.
No, they do because we're parents too, so.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sure.
Anyway, but, so what happened was I got him and he goes, dude, I hate singing. I definitely don't like singing on other people's records. I mean, I do my thing and, you know. So, but I'm playing with the Crooked Vultures right now and I'm playing drums and I'll play drums on it. And so I wrote it into an instrumental and.
Whoa, with the.
Yeah, good, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Anyway,
he's a good guitarist.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's how it happened. You know, three takes, I think it was.
And really?
Yeah.
And it's called Watch This?
Watch This, not Watch This Dave.
Why does it say Watch This Dave on
the... there's a lot of typos on the Slash's first printing. I released it myself. Give me a break.
Okay, so Watch This is the name. Come on.
And we're back on the Jim Rome Show. isn't it funny that a guy like Dave Grohl, by the way, who's a great singer, he's got a fantastic rock voice, an amazing performer, he's sold tens of millions of records. I don't really like singing. Isn't that weird that he would tell you that?
A lot of singers are very shy about what they do, you know? So a lot of singers don't like to sing on other people's records.
But,
and they'd like to, you know, make sure they're covered. You know, you can't see them when they're in the studio doing their own thing.
Right.
You talked about earlier how you don't like to be on stage without your guitar. I mean, you don't like singing. Is there that much security in having your instrument there and being on stage?
And a top hat and having your hair in your face. All works for me.
It's all the hype.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking, you know. I'm not that extroverted. So, you know, there's an energy that comes when you're up there. It just comes innate. From just that whole playing, and it's natural. But right before you go on, I'm petrified. You know, but singers, some of them are really outgoing, like David Lee Roth type guys. You know,
right.
they just love to be out there. And some of them like to sing their songs and just put up with the sort of big publicity of it.
But don't like that.
Don't really like it.
Yeah.
Is there any difference for you, Slash, whether you're playing for 20 people or 100,000? Because I know you've done both.
It doesn't matter. It could be two people or 20 people.
Come on, two people?
Well, yeah, actually, it's worse with two people. Like, I don't play around my house. Because I think somebody might be listening.
And what? You'd be embarrassed by your playing?
No,
I only play
the Rose
Bowl,
when people are asleep or if I'm, you know, like totally in a room where nobody else can hear me.
Okay,
so,
you're a weirdo.
Yeah. But check it out. I played with Dave last night.
With Dave Grohl?
Yeah, me and Dave and Lemmy. We did Ace of Spades. Yeah, it was cool.
Wow.
Good times. Well, the record is well worth checking out. It's available, of course, on iTunes and Amazon MP3, or you can buy it in an old-fashioned store if that's what you want to do. That's what I did on Tuesday. I was at the Best Buy putting down my bucks for you, Slash.
Thank you.
But people are going to like it. They really, really are going to like it. It's
I think it's a
fun.
Cool record.
And next Friday, you're going to be doing the national anthem at the Dodger.
Is it Friday?
The Dodger, next Friday,
I know,
I think.
It's the 16th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've actually, it'll be my second time doing the national anthem for the Dodgers.
Does that scare you?
Standing, I mean, that's even worse. Doing a sporting event, and I've done a couple basketball, for, you know, done the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And you're standing by yourself in the middle of, you know, 80,000 people, and you're just playing this thing, and you can't screw it up because they'll throw, you know, beers at you. And
You're Al Qaeda if you screw that one up. Yeah. It's not just missing a note.
Is it as difficult to play as it is to sing? Because everybody that sings it says that's an impossible song to sing.
The thing is to play it, like, a lot of people want to do the Hendrix version, which made sense at the time, but like nowadays we don't have that kind of political thing going on, and what you really want to do is play it so that people can sing along with it.
Right.
So you're playing very simply. So for lead guitar players, you want to go off, but you really probably shouldn't. So you want to play the notes accurately, but with as much feeling as possible, so it really hits you in the heart. And that's, you know, it takes an effort.
We've been doing this show a long time. I don't think we've ever had anyone give advice on how to play the national anthem at a Dodgers game before.
It's true.
Well, you know, like Zach did it last night at the Revolver Awards, and he did it with, I mean, it was like blazing. And you just,
Zach Wilde,
every so
about.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, Zach Wilde. And every so often you'd hear the actual anthem in there. And then the rest of it was all, but it was really bitching. But if you do that at the Dodger Stadium,
right, that's a different
everybody. It's like, you know.
Then you're Roseanne Barr, right, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's right. Trying to sing different parts.
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
Outstanding. Please pick up the record, Slash. Continued success, my friend. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
really
it's
enjoyed
good
you stopping
good
by
to be
today.
Here for sure.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 15 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You've already checked out for the weekend, haven't you, Kevin? You're no longer paying attention to the program.
Yeah, it's been about a half hour now since I started. Since Slash came right. I'm sidetracked.
Slash, by the way, from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver, was sad that he could not stick around because he is also, as we are, such a big fan of our next guest who joins us on the telephone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, TV's original Batman, the mayor of Quahog, the great Adam West, has joining us. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Kevin and Bean, how have you been?
Adam, we have a lot of ground to cover in just a short amount of time. I want to tell you that I went to your website, adamwest.com, and I did buy, I did buy your... Yeah. What?
I'll hang up now.
What? What?
No, you. Is that enough time?
No. We got more time than that. We're not done with the interview yet. I just was. I was just laying out that we're going to have a busy couple of minutes with you, but I wanted you to know that I went to your website, AdamWest.com, and I bought your Adam West naked DVDs, which isn't what people think they are. It's Adam on a folding chair in his basement, walking you through every episode of Batman that's not on DVD, and it has been fascinating. And I watch like an episode every day, and I'm really enjoying it. I just want you to know it's good stuff, my friend.
Thank you very much. It's really not that risque, is it?
No,
it,
I was not disappointed as the title indicates.
I
right,
sent
exactly.
it back.
Right.
I was very disappointed. I wanted nudity.
I knew you would be. Who wants to see this old body naked, you know?
It's just so funny, though, because I picture the great Adam West living in opulence in the Batcave, and then I see you on a folding chair, like, trying not to make too much noise to wake your wife up, who's taking a nap upstairs, you know what I mean? Down there by the heater in your basement, it just cracks me up every time I put in a new episode.
Well, I try not to be too pretentious.
Exactly.
You pull it off.
All right. Well, let me tell you what's going on with Mr. West, because he's got something happening this weekend and then something else next weekend. This weekend is a latest honor and a long career that's full of them. You are getting a star on the Palm Springs Walk of Stars. Tell us about that, Adam.
Yeah, these people here are so nice to me. You know, that after 50 years of movies, TV, and toiling in those vineyards, that they're going to give me a star. And I'd rather be on the sidewalk in Palm Springs than any other sidewalk I know.
Right. this has got to, I mean, of course, people think of stars on a sidewalk, they think of Hollywood, but Palm Springs has a very long tradition that has been going on for decades with lots of big stars out there, right?
Yes, thank you. And there aren't that many stars, so I feel very pleased that they would do this for me.
Now, this is going to be tomorrow morning, right?
Yes, tomorrow about 11 o'clock. You're all invited, of course, and it's beautiful here in the desert right now. You know, the wonderful thing is that I'm part of a sandwich. My star is between Marilyn and Marlena Dietrich.
All right.
Now, that's a guy thing, to be a sandwich.
Yeah, that's strong.
Yes.
Now, are you going to have show business friends that are going to be getting up and saying a few words before they do the actual honor?
Well, there may be one. He's getting out of jail today, I believe.
Okay.
Being bailed, yeah.
So that'll be tomorrow at 11 o'clock if you want to be there for the ceremony to see Adam West. And it's not a hands in the sidewalk or anything like that. It's actually a star that they will just unveil, right?
Yeah, it's terrific. And it didn't cost me a dime.
Oh, we'll see. Well, I understand that's a little bit of a sore subject here, but we have been campaigning hard on and off the air to get Mr. West the honor he deserves in Hollywood. So far, that hasn't happened, but maybe, maybe somebody's listening who will go, it's time. We gotta take care of the dude.
Oh, guys, listen, Palm Springs with its, as you said, tradition of show business, and it's so gorgeous here. I'd rather have a star here anyway.
All right.
Well, that's a good attitude. And then next weekend, I can't believe you're doing this, but you're going to be at the Anaheim Comic Con. This is going to be the greatest collection of original Batman actors in one place in a long time. Right, Adam?
It's amazing.
Okay.
What, will I know them?
You're going to be there. Your old friend Burt Ward is going to be there.
That's what I hear.
Julie Newmar is going to be there, TV's Catwoman. Yvonne Craig is going to be there, TV's Batgirl. And the original Batmobile all are going to be in one location at one time for fans to meet and get autographs from.
That's right. And Julie is always so hot under the collar as Catwoman. It's just amazing.
It's a real treat for Bat fans, and that is going to be next weekend at the Anaheim Comic Con, and you can get details at wizardworld.com for information on that. You do a fair amount of these shows where you sign up and meet the fans and sign autographs, right, Adam?
Oh, absolutely. It's just a great way to keep your fan base going and Family Guy, too.
Is it a surprise to you every year that the interest is still there from people who can't wait to meet you and shake your hand?
I don't know if surprise is the word. I think it's more an appreciation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're happy for you. It sounds like a great event, and congratulations on the honor tomorrow, too. And hopefully we'll be doing it again in Hollywood before too long.
Well, thanks, guys. You're always good to me.
Adam, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 944.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
That's a great question, Dr. Spachievan. Unfortunately, not now.
That's
the intro. Yeah, that's the intro.
Yes. Well, because I was just trying to psych myself up because I got to sit through listening to you yap for 7 minutes.
That's good showbiz.
Wow.
That's right.
Thank you, Kevin.
In for the showbiz beat, in for Ralph Garman. It's Lisa May this hour, and then we'll Don't Bogart What's Going On.
And a pair of passes, first of all, to Kick-Ass, the movie. It opens on next Friday on the 16th, but we have passes to a screening. Is this the premiere? I believe it is.
I think so, on the 13th, yeah.
We have a trivia question for you.
We'll try to have that information before we start speaking.
That would be good. It just occurred to me. But I think we've been saying premiere all week, so I'm going with that.
That's fine.
Brad Pitt was one of the producers on Kick-Ass, and Brad Pitt has been nominated twice for an Oscar. To win these tickets, I want you to name one of the two movies for which he was nominated.
Ooh,
that's pretty simple,
question.
Right?
All right.
All right.
1-800-520-1067.
All right. Jesse James in rehab. Mm-hmm. We heard earlier this week he might not be, but he is from all accounts. And Sandra Bullock is taking care of his kids while he's there.
Right.
Meanwhile, Mistress Bombshell McGee is busy out there denying the whole white power Nazi thing. It turns out that she...
sell.
Yeah. Well, it turns out she's in a bitter custody battle with her ex-husband.
Okay.
Who, by the way, claims that she's been in love with Jesse James for a very long time and actually lied about when they first met.
Okay. Bad.
So TMZ has obtained an unsworn declaration that Bombshell filed in this custody dispute, which basically says that her husband or her ex-husband is the one that put the child block magnets on the refrigerator that spell white power and then took a photo with her son in front of the refrigerator.
Okay.
In order to make
set her
look worse than she already is.
To frame her?
Right, to frame her.
Okay.
And that she doesn't have a swastika tattoo on her. And that she did not show her kids how to do the Nazi salute. Now, I guess there's a way to prove whether that tattoo is there or not.
Yeah,
you think.
Well, you know, you guys, I can't even say what she claims WP stands for, but originally when she first came out in those photos and she has W on one leg and P on the other, everybody was saying, well, that's clearly white power. She says no.
Is
her
it wet?
Explanation for what the first
is
word
wet?
Is wet. Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm out.
That's what she claims the WP stands for. So she does seem to have an answer for everything that anyone throws at her about the Nazism charge.
Wet power.
That's way better.
It's a big movement, wet power.
All these cheating men are in the news, and one woman has decided not to take it laying down, so to speak. Her name is Garcelle Beauvau. She's an actress from the Jamie Foxx show. You might know her from there, or NYPD Blue. Very beautiful
woman.
Yeah,
I know exactly who she is. Very pretty, yeah.
Yeah. Married to an agent at CAA who, turns out, has been cheating on her.
Uh-oh.
So she decided, allegedly, to send out a mass email to everyone at CAA that says, Tiger Woods, Jesse James, Mike Nylon, or Nealon, her husband's name. What do they have in common? I found out today that my husband of almost 9 years has been having an affair for 5 years with some slut in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, let's publicly humiliate him. Wow.
She wrote, I'm devastated. I've been duped. Our boys don't deserve this. They have twins that were born in 2007.
Oh, rough.
I don't think he's going to have any good days at the office for some time to come.
No.
Corey Feldman has announced on his blog that the public memorial for Corey Haim has been canceled.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I didn't know there was one.
And I'm sure he's sad. Well, remember he was going to play.
His own.
We figured he was going to sing and play and all that. So apparently Corey Haim's mom made that decision that she's just too devastated over the death of her son to do this. So they're just going to have a small, quiet memorial.
Wait, he's been dead like a month. Has he just been laying around while they made funeral plans? Because it seems like there's some sort of urgency to that situation.
Yeah, it really does seem like they might need to move.
I think it's a memorial, not a burial.
Somebody needs to move on.
Okay.
James he's Brown's already still being moved around. I don't know.
Do we take the winner? You want to take
the winner? Take the winner.
All right. Winner is Holly.
All right. Holly.
Let's find out if Holly's the winner.
Holly,
yeah, let's see.
What's the answer to our question?
It's Benjamin Button.
That's one of them.
Yes, that is one of them. The other one is 12 Monkeys. Very good. You win the tickets for the screening on the 13th.
Yes,
actually, the premiere.
Esteban also got those tickets.
Esteban.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
All right.
Brad Pitt is one of those guys, and there are a bunch of them, who has not won an Oscar yet. But he's certainly a good enough actor to win one,
I think.
I think he's terrific.
We'll go to showbiz birthdays, celebrity birthdays. Playboy founder Hugh Hefner, 84. Dennis Quaid is 56. Jenna Jameson is 36. And Leighton Meester of Gossip Girl is 24.
Ooh. Oh, I love her.
I love her so much. And that's Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
I'm sorry, can I hear something? I love her so much.
Congratulations to Chris Brooks, who just won a trip to go to Hawaii, by the way, to see Jack Johnson in concert.
Nice.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. And Monday morning, we have an all-new program. We have Andrew Siciliano on the program. He's a sportscaster. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ. We have a little fighter that you might have heard of by the name of Uriah Faber.
Wow. How about that? I'm going to kick his ass.
So that's all Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, God. When is this going to end?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, first of all, hard things don't happen overnight.
Roll another one.
That's what she said.
Just like the other one.
I'm not comfortable with this dialogue.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, that's such a big lie.
I need another hit.
Yeah. All right. Woo! Yeah. Ha.
Roll another one.
I got a thyroid problem.
Just like the other one.
Okay, that wins.
This one seems to be about to end.
God help me now.
I don't have another cent.
I never thought I would see the day that a black person would be elected president.
I'm not even gonna comment on that.
Just pass it around.
Like a garden, I dig it.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
sorry, you're just a tool.
I'm just passing on down.
The proceeding was a paid political advertisement and may not be suitable for children, but this station is required to carry it by federal law.
I want to say three cheers for what we did. We accomplished a lot today, so it's going to be a hip hip, and I want to hooray.
Yeah.
Okay. Three cheers. Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
America, I'm going to shoot straight with you. I think I've wasted your time. I think this is the first time I have wasted an hour of your time, and I apologize for that.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.